Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
You gonna eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
Fourth down and two for the Patriots at their own 28. The ball game hanging in the balance. And Faulk at his to the right of Brady in the shotgun. Now Faulk goes into the right side slot. Fourth down and two for the Patriots at their own 28. Brady takes the snap. Looks, fires right. It is caught at the 30-yard line. And I don't think it's enough for a first down. It was caught at the 30-yard line. It is not enough for a first down. For Welker and the Colts have it, first and 10 at the Patriot 30, and now this ball game could be lost.
Well, Gil Santos says he didn't think it was enough for a first down. Unfortunately, he didn't know who the guy had the ball.
That's because the announcer said Welker.
I'm not taking his word for it.
He
it was enough
hesitate.
For a first down. Unfortunately, they didn't get the call right, but that as it may, we have a lot to talk about here in PFW in Progress.
Interesting that all you people with the liberty of all the replays are sure it's a first down, but the official and Gil Santos, two people who had to go on the record with pure immediacy, said
well,
not enough
Herrera
for a first
said
down.
Said that no matter how it was called in the field, that's the way it was.
Well, understood. That's a fact. That's so. It's not debatable that it's debatable.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't clearly either direction.
Right.
It was within a ball's length in either direction.
Anyway, PFW in Progress. RebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. And what can you say? That was as tough a loss as you could get since 2007 and before. I think what made it so tough is we had the game.
Kicked ass for portions of that
game. The game was won.
The game was won.
Until it was lost.
You know, several opportunities to put it away, you know, definitively, but the game was won. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But the way I'm looking at it, it wasn't the last game of the season. There's still plenty of football left. With any luck, we'll be back there in January. And I like our chances. I like the way the Patriots stood up to the Colts. I think you looked at the two best teams in the NFL right there. They were, you know, blow for blow with each other. Just when one team, you looked like the Patriots had it, you know, then Peyton Manning started stepping up. You know, so I think, you know, given a second chance, the Patriots will beat that team. Now, of course, the Colts are going to figure, well, given a second chance, we're not going to let them get up on us like that.
Well, I think the interesting mentality is, I agree with you, there's reason to be positive about your team and competing with the Colts, but from a Colts perspective, they're now the old Patriots. I don't care what the situation is. We'll make the plays in the end we need to win. If we're down 18, 17, fourth quarter, second half, we know that we can come back and beat these guys because we've done it with regularity now. So both sides would go into a rematch with the same utmost belief they're going to win. And to me, from a football fan, I know this doesn't help Patriots, the coolest part is these games just live up to the hype. You end up with the whole football world talking about these games for a week after these games occur, and not because, oh, that sucked, we got all hyped up and it blew. No, the exact opposite. You need to break down the game for the next week, because unlike rare Super Bowls or pretty much any other rivalry, anything, I mean, how often do you get hyped up for Red Sox-Yankees? They have a big series, and one team sweep five in a row, right, or the other one comes in, or the game is, you know, 8-1 in the second. That's right. Not how these games go. These games go down to the wire, and that's why it's the best rivalry in sports right now.
No doubt. I mean, it was an unbelievable game. For Patriots fans, we're not going to watch it again, ever. But, you know, it was an instant classic. If you're a Colts fan, you probably have watched it four times already. I don't know if it's worth going back and forth on whether or not the call on fourth and two was right, because that's been debated ad nauseum for the last couple of days. And from the looks of our emailers, I'd say probably 60, maybe 70% think it was the bad call. 30% probably, you know, think it was okay to do. They do it again.
There's a pretty decent split. I was actually upstairs working on AskPFW and listening to talk radio the last. There's a split. I mean, there's plenty of people that see Belichick making the decision and why he made it. You know, the way the Colts had moved the ball recently, the defense, your best playmakers are Brady on offense, Falk, you know, taking the victory by the reins and winning it. But football convention is on the other side.
Yeah, I think no matter what those, you know, algorithm databases are saying and everything about the percentages, I think in this case, you know, I think the conventional move is to punt it. I mean, we've all watched enough football to know that's what people do in that situation. The way I look at it is this. There are three factors in here that influence Belichick, and I think if any one of those factors are just a little bit different, he punts the ball. And those three factors are Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and the state of his defense at the time. I think if Manning is a little bit less than what he is, if Brady is a little bit less than what he is, and if his defense was playing just a little bit better at the time, I think he would have punted. But all those three things in his mind said, you know, and I believe him when he says, I felt the best chance for us to win was to go for it. I don't believe he wanted to lose that game. I do believe.
What? No.
Who said that? He wanted to lose the game? I'm being sarcastic. Oh, I thought there was like a movement.
Oh, no. I'm being sarcastic.
And I don't think ego was involved either, really.
No, a lot of people, it was arrogant to go for it. It wasn't arrogant.
I just think it was a decision.
Why was
I don't.
How
I think Fred's right. It's
part
a more a commentary on Manning and his defense, the matchup, and a vote of no confidence. I mean, that's clearly.
Well, we're going to get into what this means about how he feels about the defense. But I think those are the three factors that were going through his mind at the time. And I really do honestly feel that he felt the best chance for us to win this game right now is to get that first down. And, you know, I was upset after the game, not as much as some of the emails that I got. You know, I thought they should have punted. I still think they should have punted, but I can't blame him, knowing what he knows, you know, in his mind, for going for it.
But that's what worries me, knowing what he knows. And I said this to Paul upstairs. The biggest thing I learned from this is how I felt about this defense might have been a little bit ahead of where Belichick thinks this defense
is. But here's the thing, Andy, and here's the trap we're all going to fall in as far as how we're thinking about this defense. We shouldn't think about this defense the same way against 31 other teams or 29 other teams as we do against the Colts and Peyton Manning. I mean, as good as we might think our defense is, they're still not that good where they're going to stop Peyton Manning for 60 minutes.
But they had. It wasn't about 60 minutes.
Yeah,
we're talking about one drive.
They stopped him pretty much the same way a lot of other teams have been stopping him, you know, apparently over the last couple weeks. I mean, he only scored 18 points the week before. You know, and a lot of the stops were of their own doing. I mean, Austin Collie dropping balls. You know, Pierre Garçon got targeted, 11 times and caught six balls? Or
Three
balls. And so
he had to have dropped at least half of
those.
Yeah,
and only a couple of them were tough to catch.
You still got to, you know. I mean, I know that they were holding on a little bit, but I think that he put the game in a situation where it came down to one play, and I would have rather have seen it come down to 10 plays. Give my team a chance to make a play, one out of 8, 9, 10 plays rather than one.
No,
if I don't make it, I lose. Because there's no way you're stopping them from the 28.
No.
29, whatever it ended up being.
You know, I agree with that, Paul. It's you got more chances to stop them if you punt the ball.
And I kind of I'm with Andy on this. I look, I've been somewhat critical of the defense over the past 3 or 4 years. But I think the defense played okay the other night. And much like I thought going in, I think it would have been, it was going to be on the offense to win the game. And ultimately it turned out that way. Now, not the way anybody
shouldn't have been,
not the way anybody said it was going to be, that they had to get the fourth down. But you know what? Was it out of the realm of, you know, was it unrealistic to say, give me one first down and we win the game? Offensive, the defense gave up 28 points, and that's a lot, but that's what everybody expected. I think the offense needed to get a first down on that last possession to win the game, and they couldn't. I think that's where it all comes down to, whether it's fourth down or third down. They needed to get that first down, and they didn't do it.
They sure, yeah. And another thing that, you know, when we get back to the state of the defense, another thing that I thought was a little bit telling during Belichick's thing with EEI yesterday. You know, they asked him about, you know, with Tully Bantakane out and Ninkovich out, did that really hurt you? Usually Belichick would say, hey, you know, guys have to step up. But he did say, well, they would have played toward the end of the game. You know, that to me, that was a confession that, yeah, we missed them.
And it's so funny because I joked to Paul. I said, things got so bad with Bantakane and Ninkovich hurt that you had to play Adalys Thomas. He's the guy that's on the field in that situation.
Yeah.
You're $35 million linebacker. You're Pro Bowl edge guy. And that's an admission that they weren't necessarily in the situation they wanted to be in. And I just find that so funny. And I know we've been over this for a couple weeks now with Thomas, but that's so strange to me that that guy is almost the reason you can't do things that you want to do.
Yeah. So, you know.
But while we're throwing all the topics out there, I think another interesting aspect of this, after you've made the decision to go for it, is how you went for it. You ran a route right at the sticks. The Colts know if they give up a first down, the game's over. It's just like a 90-yard touchdown pass. It's the same thing.
It's like playing in baseball.
Right. It's what we Paul and I talked about upstairs. So when they see any route that's breaking off, go get it. You have no fear of anything behind you. Go get it.
Right.
So that's why I wonder, should there have been some intermediate nature to these routes, something 5, 7, 10 yards downfield? Not so long so that you have to wait for it to develop and put yourself susceptible to the pass rush, but,
right,
you know, Ben Watson down the seam, just loft it up and let him go get whatever.
Well, I think one of the things that, in you know, when you saw Brady throw that pass, he was completely surrounded. You know, a second more and somebody would have been on him. So I think that's one of their problems is they realize that. And again, we didn't talk about this. Neal was out of the game. I'm not sure what kind of game Connolly was having at guard, but it looked like there was some serious penetration on the right side with Kazier on that side of the, you know, and that's where they threw the ball, actually.
You make a good point, Freddie, about those last two plays, too. And we talked about it, all three of us upstairs. That's why you throw all those numbers and all the probabilities and the statistics out the window on a situation like this, because you can't duplicate, you know, very many times a situation where a defense just sits there and says 2 yards or 80 yards is no different. We cannot allow them to get to the sticks. So we're going to blitz everybody. We're going to cover everybody in their face, and we're going to force them to make a very, very difficult play. You saw it on third down. They immediately, three guys immediately ran through the line right in Brady's face, forced the ball out quickly, and it was almost picked off and returned right then. Fourth down, the same thing happened, only Brady and Falk are so good that they still found a way to complete the pass.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think Falk having to bobble it a little bit and not catch it cleanly initially.
But don't you put them
into position
the Colts'
where
hands
it's not
by
first
going
down
empty and running short routes at the sticks? You take away any help he has in the backfield and protection for the first guy through. And
I agree with that. I agree with you.
I just
you
feel
on
like
that.
All the timing and everything on that play came together to favor the Colts.
I think
you kind of played into their hands.
I think empty that you bring up, Andy, in particular is bad because now you take away the run. You know they're not going to run a quarterback sneak from 2 yards away. So at least if you have a guy in the backfield, they have to be cognizant. They might hand the ball off here.
Right.
You go empty.
But even beyond
you go
that,
empty,
you ran,
I don't think you can get the ball downfield. I don't think you had time to do that. But
I'm not talking downfield. There's a downfield to me is a big play.
I know, but you can't
anything
take
beyond 2 yards.
I know, but
go
you,
five.
But you can't like take a chance of lofting it over the first line and hoping that Watson gets.
I'm not necessarily saying hoping. I think Ben Watson can get off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but
now maybe you have zero, maybe a zero confidence in Ben Watson to be the guy you
go
to.
It's not Ben Watson.
But the bottom line is, you went empty. you looked right where your two best playmakers are, maybe, in Falk in Randy Moss on third down on a key down. I know Welker would be in the conversation. And both guys broke their routes off almost immediately. To me, you're giving the Colts the ability, A, to pin their ears back and go get the pass rush because there's nobody else in the backfield. You're taking away an extra protection there. And as those guys start breaking off routes, you're not worried it's a double move. There's no, oh, he might run an out and up and I could get embarrassed. Who cares?
Right.
So to me, defensively, everything's unfolding right in front of you. I know it's quick. It's within a second, but it's all unfolding in your favor. I can go make a play.
Yeah. I also like what I like the argument even better that people have made is if you knew you were going to go for fourth down, you know, before it even got to that, why not run on third down?
They didn't.
You know, well, if he didn't, why didn't he? I mean, you know, I believe, you know, doesn't Belichick have the reputation of being that chess player where he's
yes.
thinking one, two, three steps ahead?
Yes.
Why wouldn't he have already decided, hey, if we get the fourth down, we're going for it?
I don't know,
if it's close.
I don't think they had.
I don't think
I mean,
they
the
had
timeout,
either.
The punt team all plays into they hadn't. It was not a definitive – they had not definitively decided what they were doing there in my mind.
Yeah, that surprises me a little bit.
A little bit, because you're right. He's given the utmost credit for always being a play in advance, always having two plays ready to go. You know, how many times do we hear Josh over the years being praised? He knew he had two plays to work with. It was the setup, you know, if it's third and long, well, we knew we were going for four, so we're setting up. It's a two play.
Right.
I don't think that was the case here.
Well, give credit to the Colts because, you know, we talked about it before the game that, hey, we don't know about this kind of coaching staff when it comes down to these type of pressure situations, first-year head coach, defensive coordinator, you know, who knows. But they played like they'd been there before, you know, as far as defense. And, you know, they did what they had to do down the wire.
Yeah, down the wire, they made the plays they needed to on both sides of the ball to win.
I would give them credit, too, for making some adjustments. I don't know when they made them, but, you know, if they were second half, because they had a lot of wide, wide open receivers in the first half, and they didn't have as many in the second half, certainly not with the big plays in the second half.
They decided not to put a safety one-on-one with
exactly.
Moss.
Exactly. And
the decision.
You know, they played better, you know, yeah, they got a little lucky. You know, the Lawrence Maroney fumble and the Brady pick in the end zone took points off the board. But at the same time, I think that Indy would look at a game against the Patriots and say, you know what? We're not going to punt the ball seven times against New England very often. And they had to punt the ball seven times, you know, in addition to the two Manning picks. So there was a lot of pressure on the Indy defense in that game. And, yeah, they bent a lot and they broke a lot. But, you know, down the stretch in the second half, they only gave up 10 points in the second half. I mean, did you think there was any prayer that the Patriots were only going to get 10 points in the second half after the way the first half unfolded?
No.
And everybody likes to point to, well, they had to go for it because the defense had just allowed an 80-yard drive in less than 2 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Well, the other side of that coin is they had to go for it because the offense couldn't run the clock out. The offense had first down, second down, third down. You got in that situation, and our old friend Shane Donaldson sent us in some numbers about, was it the last 10 plays they had run? They'd got, or 10 times they'd gotten 2 yards or less out of the last 15
they
plays.
They had 31 yards
31
on like their
total
last three
yards.
Possessions or something like that.
So neither side of the ball was playing well at the end. It's not like you had a hot side and a cold side and you went with the hot side.
I'll
we're just killing. We can get any yard we want on this day. Early in the game, sure, you were killing.
You know
but
what?
Late, you weren't.
To back that up, too, and you're right, Fred, because I think we all, at this point, we're 2 days removed now and everybody has their feelings on whether or not they should have gone for it. But just let me add this in here. Jonathan Wilhite's interception came when they were still up 10 points, I believe. Right, it was 34-24 at the time. 31-21.
And they kicked the field goal.
Okay, and they took over on the 31-yard line. They got one first down, and then they kicked the field goal. Well, on 4th and 8, I would argue, why not go for it? The field goal's meaningless. You already established that you don't think you can stop them, so why not go for it on 4th and 8 from inside the Colts 20? If you don't get it, Colts still have to go 80 yards to get back within one score. You're still up two scores. 10-13 meant very little, right? Very little. You know, they had plenty of time to get two touchdowns. You didn't think that you didn't think you could stop them from getting one with 2 minutes left in one timeout going the length of the field. So don't tell me that there was a big difference between the 3 points that you kicked with 4 minutes left in the game. To me, it was kind of a contradictory approach there by the coaches.
Unless they decided it on that last drive.
Right.
I mean, if that really
all the evidence wasn't
in. So one drive, One drive.
I don't know, Paul. Stunning. I don't agree with it. I have trouble defending it.
Well, the other
I understand the logic, but I can't defend it to the bone.
See, the other thing we'll never know, unless, again, the memoirs are written someday and there's a chapter on this game, is what Belichick really felt his defense can do by the time 2 minutes were left. If, you know, there were just guys out in the field that, you know, were going to get killed in any matchup. And he'll never say what that is, you know, what his true feelings about the state of his defense.
Well, I think the true feelings are passed along in the decision.
Well, I, yes, no doubt. But why? What exactly was the thing that, you know, we were getting?
I think you hit it right on the head. Peyton Manning, the Colts, my defense, Tom Brady.
I know, but, you
know, I have to pick and choose between here,
but
I'm going Brady.
I'm trying to get specific as far as the defense goes because at the, you know, on EEI, Belichick said that he thought Will Hite did a pretty good job, as good as anyone could do on a guy like
Richard. I heard him say that in the press conference.
Anyone on this team, yes.
Was there no one that could help him?
Wayne was a beast. I earned a lot of respect for him.
Oh.
He is, and we talked
about
Wayne's
terrific.
He's far better than Harrison ever was. When they needed him most, he came up big.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Was the front seven,
soft.
You know, that ineffective late in the game where we just, even if we decided to dial up some blitzes, they wouldn't have worked. You know, that's what I was hoping for. It was really some, you know, pressure on Manning toward the end. That's what we usually do to Manning.
We had very little pressure in that game. Now, I do agree with the point that you guys brought up about Banta Kane and the depth there on the edges there.
It's just so funny. I had to say it again.
No, I know. And I said it immediately.
We're at a loss because Banta Kane was out and Thomas had to play.
I looked at Andy when he got hurt. It was early in the first quarter he got hurt. I said things I never thought I would say to out loud, but that's a big injury. Tully Banta Kane, big injury. And it was.
Yeah.
He's been an effective passer.
Kind of like when I wrote in notes, Rob Ninkovich and Adalys Thomas shared reps after Banta Kane went down.
No, when you add that into the fact that Warren was already out of the game, Jarvis Green, who is a pretty effective late-game pass rusher,
yes.
We've seen that.
He would have helped in that role.
He would have helped in that role.
More important even than Warren, even though he's not anywhere near as good a player. Jarvis Green, you're right, Fred. He's effective in that role.
Yeah, so they just didn't have they didn't have the personnel to do what they normally would do with a lead late in the game against Peyton Manning. They just didn't have it, you know? And I think he looked at all of that and said, we got to get this first down, for Christ's sake. But
was it the smart call? Then you get back to it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I said upstairs, for all these years that Belichick was in Manning's head, kind of feels the opposite now.
Oh, yeah.
He had so much Peyton Manning running through his head that he made a decision. Now, he may have said, I would make this decision, you know, 100% of the time. But you wonder how much of the Manning in his head there is playing head games, and you'll never get that answer.
You know, when Manning goes into the Hall of Fame, I don't know who will introduce him, but I can make a case for Bill Belichick. Not because he made Manning good.
I don't think it'll happen.
But Belichick, he made Manning into a better football player from afar. He had to go.
He just spun that the Patriots are responsible for making Manning.
But the stuff that he had to go through against the Patriots really kind of defined him. He had his.
But if he had never played the Patriots, he might have had four Super Bowls earlier and already be going down as the greatest quarterback ever.
You know, and
I agree with you that there's a measuring stick, and anything worth accomplishing, you work through all that crap.
And by doing what Belichick did, I think he paid Manning the highest compliment you could pay a player.
Certainly.
No
question. But in doing so, you said something to your defense.
Well, I could.
Now, I don't think they're going to sulk and not play and, well, why am I going to try? He doesn't even think we're good anyway. But I think they're professionals,
but I made
a comment on your defense.
I know, but I could just see in Canton, Belichick gets up to introduce him. He goes, you know, I was thinking about what I should say to introduce Peyton Manning and how I could compliment him, but all I could come up with is I went for it on 4-2. You know,
my own 28.
You know, that's all I can say. Without further ado, here's Peyton.
Yeah. That would be funny.
I wouldn't hold your breath for that moment.
I wouldn't.
No. But it was a compliment to Manning. But more importantly to Patriots fans, it was a statement on how he felt his defense was at the time.
And you're right, though.
But
he can spin it as,
right,
there's only one Peyton Manning. We only have to play him once.
Yeah.
I think you guys can beat everybody else. But
right.
I'm going to
make a caveat with that statement. How he felt his defense was playing at that time. with the injuries he
but
had.
But that's his defense.
You know,
I mean, I know the Tully-Bantikain thing, but the bottom line is, you know, people say they ran out of gas. They didn't have the depth. Well, sure, Green and Warren mattered, but I just...
They were only on the field 25 minutes.
That's your defense. That's what
I know. Guys need to step up.
You know, it's not a case of, you know, everybody's pointing to they don't have Brewski and Harrison and Vrabel. It's not a case that they don't have those guys right now and they're going to have them in January. The team you have now, maybe with Green and is the team you're going to have in January. So it's the same defense that would meet Peyton Manning down the road.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of changes that are coming. Now, the biggest thing I think...
But if Warren is in and Bantikain and Jarvis Green is in...
If Bill's really making that decision based on one guy, then I think it's a worse decision than...
Well, the Colts might be saying the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to say Hayden's probably going to be in, Gonzalez is probably going to be in, and they're going to look a little bit different. They
but I think they're just
game.
As irrelevant. I think both teams are going to look the same, essentially.
Well, I don't think the receivers are relevant because the receivers, I think were largely responsible for them being behind
17 points. I think the
playmakers
on offense are the playmakers. It's Wayne and Manning, and those are the guys you're going to see as a Patriots defense. And the guys that are supposed to be your key players on defense are going to Will Fork, Mayo, Merriweather up the middle. We're on the field. We're there. We're at your disposal. I think there's bit roles filled out. Same people.
Well, but I just
so if you don't think you can stop them now, you're not going to think you can stop them then.
But from the Indy perspective, I don't see how you can say that with all the drop passes they had that it was irrelevant with who played. And with the amount of wide open bombs they completed in the first half, it's irrelevant who's playing in the secondary.
Because I don't think those guys are all that good, first of all. I think the
But don't
the key
you think he's better than the guys that were playing?
I guess.
These rookies that have never been out there?
I guess, but inconsequentially.
Well.
All right.
I think the guys that made plays for both teams are the guys that are going to make plays for both teams.
You know, as to what this means going forward for the Patriots defense and their mindset, I think Teddy Bruschi said it best last night. If anyone's watching the game pregame
he
on
was
ESPN,
yelling at me.
He was... doing a one-on-one with Chris Berman, and he got very emotional. But it was again, Teddy Bruschi is going to be working a long time on TV. He's just a natural at it. And he said, look, as a defensive player, as a championship-caliber defensive player at the time, we would have been pissed that we didn't get the chance to stop the best when he's at his best during the 2 minutes. That night we would have been pissed. Today we would have been pissed. But Wednesday we'd be over it and we'd be looking at the Jets. And I think I'm hoping that that's the mindset. If I want every guy on the Patriots defense to be mad that they didn't get a chance to prove their mettle against Peyton Manning, but have the maturity to realize, okay, we got to move on. The Jets are coming up, and that's it.
And if Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison, Mike Vrabel, and company were in the locker room,
well, that's what you got Junior Seau out for.
Well, is he the guy? I mean, he doesn't play. I know he's supposedly this great motivational speaker.
No offense,
but
he's never been part of a championship caliber defense.
I think that's right. I think this can be a rallying cry for this defense. We'll show him. We'll prove him wrong. We'll be better than ever over the next 7 games. But I'm not sure who rallies them. Who the guy making that cry is, and. You know, Mayo would be the obvious guy. I don't think it's in his personality necessarily. I don't think that's who he is. Maybe it's Will Fork. Maybe he can step up and say that. But I'm not sure they have that obvious vocal leader that will use this as a quote-unquote teachable moment and make this defense better because of it.
No, it's a good point.
I'm with you guys. I'm not worried about any lingering effects, any hangover kind of thing. But it is something that's worth listening for with comments and worth watching. With the play. But I would think that, you know, just like Teddy said, you get mad about it and then you move on.
Yep.
So, and by the way, he was on the defense and on the field, a point that Brady pointed out the last time this happened in the AFC title game. So even back when they had all these playmakers in the championship defense, Manning drove down their throats.
And you know what? That might have been in the line of thinking as well, because that was a much more... I don't even know what the word is, goable, fourth down. It was a much better shot, much better chance to go for it. Much better chance to go for it on fourth down. It was around midfield, if I remember correctly. It was probably between the 40 and the 50. And I think it was a fourth and four.
Yeah.
After the third down pass that was incomplete to Troy Brown. They punted away that time. And maybe Bill said, I did it the way you're supposed to do it that time. It didn't work. I'm doing it this way this time. Again, I disagree, but... You know, the empirical evidence there, it doesn't make it the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
No. You know, some of the emails that we were getting after the game, fire Bill Belichick, you know, all this. That's just ridiculous, you know.
Yes.
I,
I don't care if it's a blatantly stupid move, which it isn't. Right. I think there's an argument to be made for what he did. You don't fire him, a guy with his track record. How many thousands of times over the last 8, 9, 10 years has he made decisions? The reason that this team has been amongst the best in football, that you have these rivalries with the Colts and Peyton Manning. He's the reason you have all those things.
You know, and Paul, you know, we were talking about who is that guy in the locker room on the defense, you know, that's going to rally these guys. Maybe it's not necessarily a guy in the defense. Maybe it's Tom Brady that talks to them as well. You know?
Yeah, I don't think that's as easy.
Yeah.
Because he's directly involved in the decision,
the
comment, the everything. I think it has to be somebody on the defense.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is.
Maybe Will Fork.
I think Will Fork would be maybe the most likely candidate, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that comes naturally to him either.
Yeah. We mentioned Seau. Were you any of you surprised that he didn't play at all?
I'm a little bit surprised, but because it happened already, no, and because he said he had six games in him, apparently they're just sticking with that and they're going to monitor him, and I don't know. I mean, they're injured, so it's not like he's taking a roster spot. They have all these guys that are injured, so they're, you know, you're going to have guys healthy that maybe, I mean, in uniform because they have to be. It's weird because you don't think of having carrying a guy on the roster for no reason, but for now, he's on the roster for no reason.
You know, and then the other thing that is amazing with the 35 points that the Patriots scored, Isaiah Standback.
34.
Isaiah Standback is
Colts
your third receiver, you know, right out of the gate.
Your number three quarterback is also your number three receiver.
You know, that just kind of.
And he looks good. He blocked well.
Yeah, he's
an imposing figure.
Yeah.
And I heard Brady talking about it this morning. He started to be impressed by him, he said, on the practice fields during scout work. You know, Hoyer would be running the offense, Standback would be running routes, and he said he's a good route runner, he's a big target, he catches the ball well, he looks like a good receiver. So he started kind of seeing it back then, but it is surprising. I mean, it's telling about this offense that each week we're rolling out these inexperienced, you know, two of them are quarterbacks in Edelman and Standback, and the other one was a guy who went right from NFI to being your third receiver in Tate. So we've been right all along. They have no receivers after Moss and Welker.
Yeah, what did Standback end up with? Two catches, two targets?
17.
Two catches.
First down.
He's only targeted. So he caught the two balls that were thrown to him. They were easy catches.
But he blocked well. I was most impressed with his blocking.
His overall role in the offense. It wasn't just we're going to put him out there and throw the ball to him a couple of times. He was a part of the offense. And he's absolutely right. He was involved in blocking. He was involved in schemes. You know, it wasn't just he's an athlete. We can put him out there and see what happens. It was, you know, he was part of what they were doing.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, and God knows we've got a lot of them. Before the show, we already had 50 emails, so you know I'll try to get to as many as I can. I'm not going to go back and read all the ones he should have gone for it, he shouldn't have gone for it, because I think that we've kind of, in that first half hour, pretty much spoken for both sides of the issue. I think if I see a new argument in there, a new reason why he should or shouldn't have, I'll get to that. Or maybe
can I just ask one question?
Doc, who's eating an apple in there, can help me out with some of those.
Did you eat the whole core? Why can I see seeds? That bite was too much. Did he make the decision just out of pure fear?
Well,
was it ultimate confidence in Tom Brady or pure fear of
Peyton
Manning?
If you want to call it fear or trepidation or whatever, I think it was a combination of Manning in the state of his defense and then saying, I have Tom Brady.
So I think it was fear.
Given the trepidation I have about those two other things, okay, I've got a good shot because I've got Tom Brady and Kevin Falk. And
I think it was fear. And I think it's the first time I've ever seen him make a decision out of fear, trepidation, call it whatever you will. And the example I use is when draft time, we always talk about everybody hates the top five picks, and I always said, I'll take my chances with Belichick with a top five pick. Because I think for all the losers out there who are fearful of picking a bust, he will be focused on picking a franchise player. This, to me, felt like he was one of those people that was fearful of something. I don't want to screw up. I don't want to lose the game, so I got to do something a little different because I'm going to lose if this happens.
Well, it's an interesting way of saying it because a lot of people would say it's fearless to go for it on fourth and two.
True.
You know?
I think it was fear of Manning. Pure fear of number 18 in that offense.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to get to your calls and emails.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am?
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got
it? Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're talking about the Jets game. No, we're still talking about the Colts game.
Yeah, the Colts game is getting about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
When you sandwich it all together.
Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We're going to get to the phones in a second, but Sam in Chicago sent us a picture of herself.
Mm.
And also...
She kissed it. There's a lipstick mark on
the
picture.
Also, to cheer us up, she sent us an MP3, so... Doc has already screened it, make sure it's appropriate, and he'll play it right now.
Hi, guys. As always, thanks for a great show. I saw some crazy things on Sunday. Fireworks at Burton Field, cute caper-wearing dogs catching frisbees, and a streaker that ran to the Colts mascot. I also saw a man who was not afraid to go for it on 4th and 2. The pass was playoff ready for 58 minutes. Don't be mad, Teddy. You'll forget all about last Sunday at the Patriots' head stop in February.
Love you guys. Go Cavs. Oh, hot. Want to touch the hiney.
Wow. I like how she's playing it up now. She made up a good point, though. Doc, I do need to apologize to you. Apparently, in-game entertainment can go a bit too far at times when the fireworks are falling on the players and are on fire on midfield and trainers have to squirt them out with water bottles.
I was surprised. They actually looked like they had fire extinguishers and not water bottles.
Well, what I don't understand, and somebody on the blog world, why do these in-game stadium entertainment people in domes feel the need to have pyrotechnics?
And people that are in the Northeast and don't have roofs don't.
Right.
I'm just saying.
We still have the same plastic field that we can light on.
Let's be honest, though. Let's be honest. You saw everything that's at your fingertips in this game. You had mascots and like theatrics tackling people. You had a T-shirt shooting cannon with the mascot. You had the mascot riding a big lawnmower thing around the field, a horse, guys with flags, fireworks, all of it. And we use none of it.
Fireworks.
When was the last time we had fireworks?
The opener.
See what I mean?
Well, we were supposed to have them a couple games ago, and it snowed.
Can't have fireworks in the snow?
No. You'll have them Sunday, though.
Wouldn't it light up the sky in, like, a white,
red glow? That would be
kind of
cool, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
The fire marshal said no.
It's wetter. Why can't you do it in the wet?
That makes no sense.
They were here and set, and the fire marshal said no.
We get screwed in this town.
Can you just slip him?
We really do. We don't get any respect.
Take the Ocho Cinco approach, hand him a little something-something, and say we're shooting him, right? And he'll say yes.
All right.
Pretty sure the fire marshal said no to the Colts, too, but, you know, we're not.
Well, he should have said no to the Colts. Players could have been injured.
By the way, mention the people in the stands.
The two greatest players of our generation were on the field, and the field was on fire.
Did you know that the reason why we were delayed coming out on the bus was because we hit a cop car?
I thought that was the lead bus.
The lead bus did, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was before we ever left.
Oh, no.
Bus one?
Yeah.
Bus one.
Right.
Yeah, we're 3 and 4.
Right. No, I don't mean we as
That's
in,
what the holdup was on the side of the stadium?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about after the game.
Yeah. Oh.
When we were sitting in the street.
Yeah.
I see.
After the game.
Now I see what
glancing
you're saying.
Glancing blow, yeah, or Bill told them, F it, just floor it.
No, it was a glancing blow, but they had
they
to,
had
like,
through the paperwork.
All the paperwork and all that stuff. So,
that's
it
awesome.
It couldn't have been worse after the game.
No, it was. You're right. It was not only you lost in such a heartbreaking manner, but then we had to sit there and wait. I thought Polian was holding us up.
Well, I almost vomited when we were coming out that tunnel when the guy like stalled it on the tunnel going up, and then was rolling backwards.
And then we were rolling backwards. Yeah,
I was concerned.
How about the noise it makes when you go up and down that ramp too? Because like, you bottom out and stuff. It's poorly designed.
Web radio at pages.com 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is John in Dallas. John, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. How are you doing today?
As good as could be expected.
Yeah, same here. I feel sick after that loss. Kind of like the 2006 AFC Championship game. But, you know, got to put it behind us and move on. You guys, I appreciate all the analysis. And the whole question around confidence in the defense, to me, I don't know if that's necessarily the question. I mean, the guy's Manning's a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? I think Belichick made the right decision. I'm not sure he made the right call, but I think he made the right decision. I think what it is the lack of confidence in the running game. When you're 3rd and 2, I mean, why wouldn't you hand off? Why would you throw a pass? Why would you throw the type of pass that Brady threw on that 3rd and 2? Why wouldn't you just give the ball to Falk or Maroney? And that, to me, this speaks volumes about the lack of confidence in the running game, because. Theoretically, they
I don't think
got,
it should have
you know,
the confidence
yard,
in it, to be honest.
Well, that's how
And Brady could have snuck it for the other half of the yard.
I think it's the same. It's the same thing in both directions. You decided Brady, Welker, Moss, that's your team. We're going to win and lose with them. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I wouldn't have had much confidence in running the ball in 3rd and 2.
I wouldn't
tell you
either.
As a matter of fact, I said to you before that play, you got to throw it here, right? And you said, absolutely.
I just wouldn't have gone empty.
I don't know. Well,
right. I wouldn't have gone empty because then you told the other team that you can't run the ball either.
Well, who knows? I guess we could debate it all day long. The call I didn't like. I think Paul's analysis is right on. When you see these guys breaking off their routes so early, it's a hell of a lot easier to cover them. You know, why not? I mean, I don't know. I'm not into the big trick play, but why not fake a punt? I mean, everyone there.
Yeah, I'm not really looking for that.
All the analysts were saying. You know, you should have punted. Okay, fine. Line up like we're going to punt. Colts think we're going to punt. We fake punt.
Yeah, I'm not really looking at that.
That gets back
to then you lose your whole argument I'm looking for my playmakers to win the game for me if I put the ball in Chris Hansen's hands. I mean, you're going with a strength with Brady, Falk, and company on offense.
Now the game is riding on whether or not you successfully trick them.
Right.
Because
I don't like that idea.
Because if you don't trick them,
that'd be even more out of fear than this way.
Because Chris Hansen's not going to be able to make a play. Whereas,
right, he's not Hunter Smith.
Right. that was a fake field goal, by the way.
Line up his quarterback and run a wildcat on him.
Again, trying to trick him.
Why are we trying
to
trick him?
If we're going to go for it on fourth down, I have no problem going for it with my best. Moss, Welker, Brady, the offense. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're going to go for it, it certainly makes sense to me to put the ball in Brady's hands. He's the best
player
in the league.
I mean, wasn't the argument with the Wildcat all along when I wanted to get Pat White or something was, why would you want to take Tom Brady off the field? Why would you want to take the ball out of Tom Brady's hands for one play? Well, this is the ultimate play where potentially your season's on the line. Playoff seeding, huge game, and you want to trick them. I don't agree with that.
Everyone sucks but me.
There's a lot of things we can point to in the game, you know, the fumble by Maroney or the interception in the end zone, whatever it be. To me, the one bonehead move, and I support Belichick's call, by the way, but the one bonehead move, I think, was keeping, given the depth on the defensive line, is keeping Bantikane on the special teams team. Why not protect him?
Well, I mean,
you're telling me we don't have someone else that could have took his role in special.
This is the age old. I mean, they only have 45 guys.
Right. Not even. 44, because Sayo's on the team.
Some guys have to play on special teams, and he's good at it. You know?
He's the best pass rusher we have.
But he's not that. Let's not make it out to be where you had Brady covering kicks.
Not Michael Strahan.
I mean, he was a Jag 6 games ago. Now everybody thinks he's Lawrence Taylor.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at with the Jets, because. I mean, I'm sorry, the Colts. I got the Jets on my mind suddenly, but...
No, you don't. You know, what do you have on your mind?
When you were... Well, I'm back now. It's half. When you were saying about it's ultimately going to come down to the playmakers, but that doesn't mean that the complementary players don't impact the game. Tully Bantikane leaving the game, to me, clearly impacted the game.
It definitely but not to like the point where he Kelvin can't, Hayden, God forbid, cover a kick.
No. I understand that, but that's the same thing with, to me, Kelvin Hayden would impact the game for the Colts in a positive manner. He's better than the guys that were playing.
Maybe.
Who were allowing Randy Moss to run without anybody around him throughout the first half. Now, in the second half, they cleaned that up a little bit, and they made life a little bit more difficult. But to me, when you have frontline players out of the game, regardless of the caliber of those players, they impact the game.
They have to, because the guys backing them up wouldn't be backing them up if they were at, if they were better.
You know? We really get back to Adelius Thomas again.
Well, yeah.
Well, stick Adelius Thomas on special teams then.
Patrick. He does.
He plays special teams.
Or stick someone else.
Well, who do you want to stick? I mean
you can't have...
If Tully Bantikane is not capable of playing special teams, where's that cutoff? You have guys like Mayo and Merriweather. Those guys, should they be on special teams?
Plus, listen, this is a team that you can argue whatever way you want. This is a team that's put starters on special teams.
Always. Ted Johnson.
And had success with it throughout the Belichick era. That's what they do. And by the way, that's what a lot of other teams around the league are starting to do. Look what's going on in Pittsburgh right now. Pittsburgh's allowed 7 returns for touchdowns this year, be it on special teams or on, interception returns. That's ridiculous. You have a defense like that, and you're giving the other team points every week.
Yep.
They've allowed, I think, 3 kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Right.
Right now they're calling for James Harrison and Brett Kiesel. I was reading a thing on Pro Football Talk today.
Well, that's where James Harrison came from.
They want those starters to go back on special teams.
Now, James Harrison, I wouldn't have on special teams. I wouldn't be forced into it because he's an NFL Defensive Player of the Year type guy.
I'm talking about the difference in philosophy. We want to get... our marginal starters off
starters,
special teams, and they
but
want
I just,
to put
so,
their best
let's just
on.
Look at it numbers-wise. You can't do that. You can't because I assume you don't want Merriweather and Mayo. Those guys, are core defensive players.
Right.
Where's the cutoff? You start cutting off
Watson. And you need certain types of players for the certain positions.
There's a limited pool.
Teams. Right, there's a limited pool. It's not like you can have Ben Jarvis Green in the middle, breaking the
Ellis
wedge.
Either.
I know they don't have wedge anymore, but you know what I mean. That first guy down,
I mean, I agree with what you're saying, okay? I mean, you're right. I mean, but the thing is that for this game in particular, you had Green and you had Ty Warren out of the game. You were already way, way low on defensive line.
Well, the last thing, though, you're going to give up points to Manning. The last thing you want to do is help them out by giving up points in special teams. You've got to make sure that's taken care of because
that was the best element of the game.
I thought they covered
teams,
really well.
Patriots special teams the other night. I mean, Chris Hansen probably his best game as a Patriot.
Yeah, he should move to a dome.
Averaged 44 plus a kick and had no returns. It was like the Florida return game on punt returns, no returns.
Yeah.
Half of the kickoffs were touchbacks, and when they ran them out, I think they got 1 to the 30.
If Maroney doesn't fumble that ball, one of the big plays we could be talking about is that Welker punt return.
Yes. Biggest punt return in 7-8 years.
The final nail in the coffin, We could be talking about that special.
Well, they scored
team.
A touchdown on that drive.
Oh, did they?
Absolutely.
Never mind.
They scored a touchdown on that drive.
Let's talk about the Maroney fumble for a minute. It's a mistake. When you fumble in the red zone, it's a mistake. But it's a physical mistake. He didn't drop the ball.
No.
He took a hit.
Yeah. There's
he took a hit that knocked the ball free. Now, right. You can argue, okay, he's got to protect it better. There can't be any hit in that area that knocks it out.
It wasn't fluky.
But this wasn't a nitpick on Lawrence Maroney, who's a pansy and dances and drops the ball.
But
the ball was knocked out of his hands.
Yeah, I don't want to give it that Andy's excusing the fumble.
No.
We're not excusing the fumble, but it's been written that that's his last shot. He dropped the ball. He's got to protect the ball going into the end zone. Listen, he fumbled the ball. You can't fumble. That's the running back's number one job. What does Bill always say?
Start the play with the ball in your hand.
Start the play with the ball and end the play with the ball in your hand. But it wasn't like a Patrick Pass thing where he was running around the corner, pulled a hamstring, and went down and dropped the ball.
Right.
He got the helmet right on the football. They made a play. Listen, the Patriots have won. You know what this game was kind of like? Is John still here? It was like the 2004 opener. Do you remember the opening game when Vanderjack missed the field goal that would have gone 27-24? Do you remember the Colts that night fumbled twice inside the five, Edgerrin James? And everybody was like, oh, that's just good defense.
Right.
It was.
Yeah.
It was good defense.
Yeah.
Just like the Colts made a play in the red zone. And Bethea's interception in the end zone was an excellent play.
Right.
It was a bad throw by Brady because he didn't see the safety coming over, which he admitted as much today. I don't know if you heard that, Andy. But it was a good play by them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't just say Rodney picking off Manning in the end zone and Ty Law making all these interceptions are great plays by the Patriots. But when the other team does it, wow, we got to protect the football. We can't drop the ball.
And I think it's the guy. I think if Morris does it, I don't think they get as much criticism. Maroney is a lightning rod. People are waiting to criticize him. They're looking for anything they can find. And
this one hurts. Listen, the Patriots outplayed them for 58 minutes. This one hurts.
Yeah.
You know, they should have won the game. It should have never been a one-possession game when it was. Matter of fact, when the Colts scored to make it 34-28, I still didn't think there was any chance that we were going to lose. Eric actually looked at Andy and said, I'll tell you what, if we have to punt on this drive, we lose. And I still didn't think he was right.
Right. Who knew Eric Scalavino and Bill Belichick were thinking the exact same thing?
Yeah, evidently Bill felt the same way because
if we punt, we lose. He decided not to punt.
Down the end there, offense
down
and
the
defense,
stretch they
neither side could make a play for the Patriots.
They ran out of gas again in Indy. One quick.
Thanks for the call, John, in Dallas,
we are,
by the way.
Quick to criticize players a lot. I need to say, and I don't want to name names of people that didn't speak, but I want to name names of people who stood up post-game and answered every question.
Stand-up guys.
Kevin Falk asked for a little bit of a cool-off period.
Can I just explain that? I don't know if you saw the whole thing, Andy. Were you there at the very the very beginning? I walked up to him, and he turned around, and he had a really, really mean look on his face, and he said, not now. No. I need some time to compose myself. And then he realized, and he was like, give me a second. And Andy was right. We all went back, and he started off by apologizing. He said, I'm okay now. I apologize for making you guys wait. And then he stood there and answered every question. And Andy even pointed out there was times where there were long, awkward pauses where there were no questions coming that usually, especially veteran players, use as a cue to say,
all right, guys,
okay, I'm out.
Right.
He stood there and looked around
every question
at everybody
like
there.
Asking, keep it coming. I'm going to answer these. Keep bringing
And
them.
He didn't have any smart-ass responses.
Right. He wasn't acting impatient.
And I mean,
it wasn't being upset or insubordinate to the team.
Nope.
He was just, you know, someone asked him how well he played, you know, a question about how well he played, and he said, you look at my face and you tell me how I feel I played in that game.
Right.
That's all he cared about was the win or the loss.
But I want to – Lee Bodden, same exact thing. Surprised me. Derek Burgess, same exact thing. Because he doesn't talk often at all, and this is certainly a game if you're going to avoid it, you avoid it.
Right.
Adalys Thomas, Mike Wright talked. Wes Welker, you know, Brady obviously. But
Brady was outstanding post-game.
They just –
He's kind of obligated to do the podium thing.
Yeah.
But we've seen him not handle it well in the past.
I'm glad you brought
that
up.
Remember the Colts
up.
When they beat him here?
Yeah.
Didn't handle it well.
I'm glad you brought
it
up.
A lot of guys
though.
Handled it very well, Fred, and they deserve to be
praised.
Because
there were a lot of guys, and I won't call out the guys that didn't, but there was a lot of guys that refused to talk, and not only refused to talk, but did so in a very unprofessional and childish kind of way. I won't say all the names here, but the guys that were pointing out were not only talked.
True pros.
But they did so in a very professional manner and didn't have anything incendiary to say about the situation. It was a disappointing loss. They said as much, and they moved on. But
there
Lee,
was no,
Lee
we're
Bodden,
the better team or
no,
any of
no,
that stuff.
No,
it
was,
it
all
was
about
as
themselves.
Professional as
Matter
it could
fact,
be.
The most common response that I heard, especially from offensive players, we didn't finish.
Right.
And that is why they lost the game.
Right, right.
They didn't finish. They had a number of opportunities to finish the game, that field goal drive when Will Hite picks off the pass and runs it back to the 31. 31 yards from ending the game.
Right.
They had to kick a field goal. Sliver of hope for the Colts. I'm only down two touchdowns.
We assumed Manning was going to score with 29 yards to go. We should assume Brady's going to score with 31.
Right. And, Wes Welker, said a lot of that kind of stuff. All the things that we did in the game offensively don't really matter because when it was all said and done, we couldn't get a yard when we needed it. You know, and that's ultimately why the game was lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's hard to say when you lose 35-34, you put it on the offense. To me, it was kind of the opposite of the Super Bowl, Fred, you know, the 17-14 thing.
Yep.
And everybody says, well, you can't blame the defense. They only allowed 17 points. Well, I could because they had enough points to win the game at the end.
Right.
And to me, the defense allowed few enough to win on Sunday, but didn't because of the way the game unfolded at the end.
Yeah.
It was the opposite of the Super Bowl.
Josh from Arlington writes in, I find it funny that people are spending so much time talking about the fourth down call at the end of the game. Anyone who is fixated on that is ignoring the fact that Brady blew it in the last 5 minutes of the second quarter when he should have blown the game wide open by moving the ball into at least field goal range. He went three and out a number of times while looking scared and throwing the ball at the ground despite no immediate pressure. In my mind, this loss is primarily on Brady. You can't win big games by playing well only in the first and third quarters. He choked when he should have been stepping on their throats. Belichick never should have had to make that call. Game should have been long over before that.
Who's that?
I know what he's referring to. There were a couple series where they went three and out.
And they did. They had 2 3 and outs to end the second quarter.
Yeah, and Brady kind of got rid of the ball. I don't know what was going on. It seemed a little strange, but to say that Brady choked.
That guy's an idiot.
You know, that's...
And
that's,
I think everybody will unify behind me now saying he's an idiot.
That's kind of, I think, a little harsh. I mean, the guy had 375 yards and three touchdowns, was it?
Three touchdowns,
and now
one
he's
pick,
softy. No. He's Mr. First and Third Quarter, and Manning is Mr. Second and Fourth. He's Mr. Clutch.
Right.
I mean, it's just amazing
the way these things
go.
The best part of that was just watching those two guys and just watching how good they are. And they both made mistakes in the game.
Yeah.
But just goes.
The funniest part was when they both made a mistake within a couple plays of each other.
I mean,
you know, Brady turns it over, so I'm Manning. I got to do the same thing,
right?
You know,
right.
And they both made mistakes. But how many times? Like, this is like an insignificant. Well, not an insignificant play. It was an important play on a scoring drive. But you would think with all the big plays, you forget about it. There was like a 3rd and 9 in the second quarter where Brady threw a deep out. Might have been the first quarter still. A deep out to Moss, like a 20-yard pass. And Andy, you'll remember it because the Patriots thought there might be a chance that
right,
Andy could challenge.
They
hurried to
usual.
The line.
Yeah.
That throw was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
To throw the ball that perfectly. I mean,
yep.
Both quarterbacks at times were dropping balls into buckets from 35 yards away.
Right.
The bomb to Moss was
And I remember
amazing.
On that play you were talking about, I thought that Moss made it look so easy. Mm-hmm. And I wrote... Has there ever been a wide receiver that can look so graceful catching a
and
ball?
And I believe it was right after that he had two balls that he made
double
look anti-Moss.
Yeah.
He dropped one,
right.
And he double-caught another, and I'm thinking, this is the anti-Randy Moss all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's as interesting as any other aspect, is the way the game ebbed and flowed, great plays, bad plays, matching each other, not taking advantage of what the other team's giving you.
It was a 3rd and 9 from the 41 that he caught down around the 20 yard line, 21 yard line, right in front of the Patriots side.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. He makes them look so easy, but the throw is just perfect.
Yeah.
It's like the throw in the first quarter on the 90 yard drive that Indy's first scoring drive, the throw down the sideline to Reggie Wayne. We actually did challenge that call.
Right.
Because I think Bill looked at it and said, no way.
How could he?
Yeah, no way could he have.
He, too, didn't have time. He had to make a decision.
Right.
So he just challenged.
But Bill must have looked at it and said, you couldn't complete that pass. The throw was absolutely perfect. And Reggie Wayne catches the ball. And like you said, he got 3 feet in bounds on that play.
He actually
had a foot down when he caught it, got his another foot down, and then toe-tapped the third one.
Yep.
Good measure.
It was unbelievable.
He's underrated.
Reggie Wayne.
He's not in the conversation. He's never
you
in the conversation
he's
with
Marvin
best
Harrison. Oh,
there's
agree.
No doubt about that.
I agree.
But I'm just
you.
Talking about now. When people list the best receivers, I don't hear them saying Reggie Wayne an awful lot.
Yeah.
It's Andre Johnson. It's Larry Fitzgerald. It's Calvin Johnson.
Well,
Reggie Wayne is forgotten
on
about.
On a good defense, Harrison could be taken out.
Yeah.
Wayne is too athletic and too strong.
Harrison was a meow.
You can't take
like
him
Dallas
out of a
Clark
game
a
like you could Harrison.
See, I think Dallas Clark was who, by the way, Andy and I said he was.
Meow.
And I'll bet you it burned Bill badly. Those two catches he made on the first scoring drive where they obviously blown coverages,
right.
Was wide open. That's where he got all. That's where he did all his damage. He had like two or three other catches in the game, but
yeah,
he's a good. I'm not saying he stinks, but he's not as good as his numbers would indicate.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a guy you have to take out. I think you can take him out pretty easily.
All you got to do is hit him.
Now Reggie Wayne, I no longer think he can really take him out. I think he's in the he's going to get his category.
It's going to be interesting to see when they play again in the playoffs because I think they will.
Gotta go through Cincinnati first.
Because you know how Bill always talks about how, you know, if you want to take one thing out. It'd be interesting to see if they could give him like a three catch for 30-yard kind of a game.
I'm not sure they can.
I don't know.
Not certainly not with the talent they have on their roster.
I'll tell you this: if they do that, it certainly will not be a game where that you know you do that and you win.
Right.
You know you do that and you hold them to 15 points. That won't happen because if you do that, it's at the expense of letting everybody else open.
And yeah. When did Joseph Addai become not a very good running back anymore, but a great running back out of the backfield? That's his game now.
Joseph Addai's best game of the year, by the way, Sunday night.
But he is now a pass catcher. He's like a Brian Westbrook. He's more of a pass first, run later kind of guy.
Well they have to spread. He was.
Well, yeah. I thought he was a jag.
But you thought he was more of a guy that was.
Yeah, I did.
Could, do that. Not
I thought he was a jack of all
guy.
Trades, not a lead
but
running
could
back.
Could that be more of what kind of offensive line they have? They just can't run block. They need to spread things
Maybe.
Out, get them in space.
But I think they've always been that. I don't think they've ever been the big powerful.
No,
they've always
haven't.
Been the stretch play, the outside
right.
zone, the
right.
on the move kind of guy. So I think that is pretty consistent with what they still are.
Yeah. Let's see. Big Al's on the phone from Georgia. How you doing, Al?
Fellas, how you doing?
Great.
Well, this is definitely nostalgic for me because this brings back great memories of how the Patriots used to be years ago, where we would invent ways to get beat. So this was actually I enjoyed this in a twisted sort of way. No,
there's nothing
I really
enjoyable
enjoy
about
it.
That.
You are twisted.
So ridiculous.
You know, I thought we were going to bring out Tom Sherman or Joe Capp. You know. No, we weren't
going
to do that.
You're going back before my time anyway.
Come on.
Yeah, you got to Google that stuff. But, you know, I disagree with what Bill did, but for one specific reason, and you guys touched upon it earlier, you know, I don't know what Chris Hansen drank before the game, but he needs to keep drinking it because that was the game of his life. He was punting the ball through the sky and no return yardage. So the way he was punting, I was ready to go let him punt one more time and take the chance on defense. If he had not been punting very well, if it had been one of these...
Ken Walter.
You know, like it's a commercial where the little baby says shankopotamus, okay? You know, if he was doing shankopotamus, then I'd say, hey, let's go for it. But the way he was punting, I wanted to let him punt one more time.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Al.
You know, just
Andy said it right. He's made thousands and thousands of great decisions that have helped us win games, and some
right.
of them have been largely responsible for it. Just because we think he made a mistake doesn't mean we now think he's not a good coach. He's a
no.
great coach. He's the best in the business. I just disagree with that call. That's all.
There you go. And, you know, everybody says they're not second-guessing, but they really are. Right down here in Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew is now a raving genius. But I guarantee you, if that snap had gone over the holder's head, he would be a moron like everybody, like Belichick is. So, you know, I don't care how sincere everybody is about saying that they're not second guessing and that they were first guessing, they're kidding you because they are second guessing.
Well, I'm not.
Okay?
I'm not second guessing, and if they had gotten the first down, I would be just as adamant that it was the wrong call.
Well, okay.
That's all. I mean, we all said it when
I'll
it happened.
I'll make a Paul Perillo exception to that. Then.
Well, I mean, I think you could make an exception for all of us because we all thought it was crazy when he was lining up to go for it. And, you know, listen, the odds, you know, I thought they were going to get it. I did. I thought they would get it because
right.
They are a great offense. It doesn't make it right, though.
Right, right. I agree. Let me ask you this. This is a question. I don't know. Again, you may have discussed this. I just got on board here about a half hour ago, so I missed the first part of it. The show, but do you think that Bill decided to go for it on fourth down? In other words, it was not two down territory for him. He didn't determine on third and two that he was going to go for it. He waited until fourth and two to decide he's going to go for it. Is that fair to assume, or do you know one way or the other?
That is what we're assuming, based on the way it played out and the way the punt team ran on and the timeout and everything else. It looks like it was a fourth down decision, not a two downs to go here decision.
See, I would have a little more respect for it if it was a two. If we decided on third and two that we're going to go, that it's two down territory because of all the alleged reasons. And maybe it affects your play calling on third and two and fourth and two if you make that decision one play sooner.
Yeah. But maybe he was using the same mindset he used. On third down, he thinks we're going to get these 2 yards.
Right.
There's no way we don't get these 2 yards.
Right. I don't
and that didn't allow him to think ahead. I don't know.
Well, again, I think I'm going to buy the winning lottery ticket tomorrow. That's what I think.
All right.
There's no need for me to plan on anything else in my life because I know when I roll out of bed tomorrow and I buy – we have a lottery here in Georgia. We've had it for 15 years. I'm going to get the lottery, and there's no need for me to make a backup plan.
I'd go for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Tell your boss to go F himself if you still work.
if they were thinking that way, and he thought after the third down play, I'll tell you what. If I was thinking of two down territory, the result of the third down play would have been enough to change my mind.
Yeah,
right.
The
right.
third down play came a whisker away from being a disastrous interception return for a touchdown, which
very
in
close
hindsight,
to a pick six.
Which in hindsight would have been better for the Patriots because they would have had time
to
go down and kick a field goal to win.
Now, on Lawrence's fumble, let me throw out something at you. You know, Corey Dillon used to do something that would drive me nuts, and I love Corey Dillon. I'm glad we got him, and he got us a Super Bowl, so I have no complaints. But one thing he did that used to drive me nuts, and maybe it's just where, you know, it's the new school way to play football, and I can't get my brain around it, but he would carry the ball toward the contact. In other words, the ball would be in his left hand no matter where he was running. He'd have the ball in his left hand. So if he's running to the left, the ball's in his left hand. If he's running to the right, the ball's still in his left hand, and somebody could knock it out. That's kind of what Lawrence did, if you notice, on Sunday.
Drives
he's running
Andy
to the right,
too.
And it's in his left hand, and it's laying out there for somebody to throw their helmet in, to strip it or whatever. And, you know, I guess, again, maybe that's considered the safe way to carry the ball now, but you know, a lot of them don't, and I just don't get it, fellas. I don't.
I don't either. It's my biggest pet peeve, or one of my biggest pet peeves, lost fundamentals in football. And I've even asked Bill about it, and he said, you know, some players just have a comfort or a certain style that you kind of have to go with because it's what they've always done, and you can't necessarily change their stripes or whatever at the pro level. But I hate it, and I think it costs you plays. You know, just this aspect, the ball in the wrong hand, you lose the ability to fend off a defender because the ball is in that. There's so much to me that's gained by good fundamentals and having the ball in the outside hand that you can't argue to me that you should allow a guy to just keep doing it however the hell he wants to do it.
I understand. And like I say, Corey Dillon did it every play.
That doesn't make it right.
Doesn't make it right.
Maybe he would have had 1,900 yards that year instead of 1,600.
There you go. I agree 10,000%. And as far as Lawrence fumbling, a part B to that is this. If you recall, we fumbled. They get the ball at the 20 because it's a touchback.
Right.
We hold them three and out. And I think that's when Welker had the long punt return.
That's correct.
So, it's hard to say that fumble by Lawrence cost us 7 points.
You're right.
You know, because you don't know that you're going to get the punt return. To me, the punt return by Welker sort of balanced out the Maroney fumble, and you probably ended up with the same amount of points you were going to get anyway.
Right, and later in the game, so that more time's off the clock.
It's almost better, actually, because you get your 7 points later. But maybe we needed it just 2 minutes even later than that.
Yes, we did.
So they wouldn't have the ball at the end. But, you know, it was a great game for I guess the public loved it. If you're a Patriots fan, it was kind of sucked. But, you know, I predicted 4-1 for this five-game stretch, so I guess that's our one.
Yep.
So we got it. Now we got to win in New Orleans as well as the two division games, and hopefully we still get to 4-1. But have a great week, fellas.
All right, Al.
All right, Al.
Calling in.
We'll pencil you in for lunch on Thursday with your lottery winnings.
Interesting email from Colt Daddy. This person calls himself. He's a Colts fan. I've been a Colts fan for over 20 years. First, let me say the Colts and most of their fans have all the respect in the world for the Patriots. Having said that, I would like to see the Patriots fans put the question about Bill's decision to go for the fourth down conversion to rest. I feel, regardless of the outcome, that Bill was playing to win. You have to play to win if the Patriots and Colts are on the field. I would like to see the focus of conversation change to what an epic battle this was and how good both of our teams are. Every sports media is going on and on about the choice to go for it, and even as a Colts fan, that upsets me because Bill is such a great coach.
No, as a Colts fan, I think it upsets you because you feel it's taking away from...
Well, I was going to say that.
We didn't win it. Bill lost it by making a bad decision.
Right.
That's why it's bothering Colts Nation.
Yeah, and that's true. And
if I was a Patriots fan, I'd probably...
You'd be doing the same thing, yeah. And I'll tell you right now what you'd be saying, Fred. They still could have stopped them from the 29.
Right.
That's what you'd be saying, and that's what a lot of Patriots fans would be saying, so I agree.
I wonder if Polian has talked about it. He's a guy that can't help himself. He'll talk about it at some point.
But here's the thing. These people that don't understand why it's being talked about so much, give me another example that's even comparable. Let me know a time when a team with a one score lead from their own inside their own 30-yard line in the last 2 minutes of a game went for it on fourth down.
Plus, beyond that decision, the reason it's being talked about is show me a talk radio show that phone lines are dead. Show me an email, ask PFW email bag that has no emails. Show me a newscast where they can prove to me in their 15-minute things that by showing the Patriots highlights and discussing this call, people clicked away. They're doing it because people want to talk about it.
Another Colts fan writes in, Scott. He says, heard you guys were totally in favor of the spot on the field. Thought it was close.
That's not what we said, though.
Thought it was close.
In fact, Fred's totally opposed to the spot.
Is the spot of the ball forward progress at the instant he finally controlled the ball, or where the ball was once fuck is reestablished, feet, arm, hip, any part of the body of the field? I would not vilify Belichick for the decision. PM had, I think Manning, had plenty of time with which to work. He thought they could end the game gutsy. Thought the Colts got their asses handed to them. But rewatching, maybe not as bad as it appeared. Several plays were where the Colts did not execute. They killed opportunities. Classic case of allowing a team to hang around. I will say I would be very leery of a rematch, but who would want it any other way? That's another Colts fan.
Was he a Colts fan?
Yeah.
Oh.
Scott. He said he's a Colts fan.
Oh. I would agree with that overall assessment of the game. I think the Patriots should have won the game. But I think that the score was much wider than the edge in play was. You know, when we were up 17, I think that there were a lot of plays that the Colts just didn't make that I got to think that they normally make. And, listen, I expected the Patriots to make the plays they did, and that's why they had the big lead. I think, you know, at the end of the game, you look at the way, you know, the statistics of the game, and they were fairly even. You know, both teams were over 400 yards of offense. Both teams were in the mid-30s in points, you know. Both quarterbacks were extremely hot, made a couple of mistakes here or there. I thought both teams ran the ball reasonably well. The Patriots just didn't run it when they needed to. And at the end of the game, you know, it was a one-point game. I don't think it was as dominant as a lot of other people do.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Henry from Whitefish, Montana writes,
Hank!
I rewatched the game last night and realized that this is all PFW and Progress's fault. The biggest play of the game was with a minute to go when a die came through the middle and was tackled at the one-yard line. If they don't make that tackle, they get the ball back with 1 minute to go and only needed a field goal. Who made that tackle? The guy you idiots keep saying can't tackle. That's right, Brandon Merriweather. The supposed guy who stinks at tackling got a hold
Such
of a die,
idiot.
Brought him down, ensuring that the Colts could run two more plays, take the rest of the clock off. Everyone wants to blame somebody for this loss. I blame you guys.
Well, it says Jonathan Wilhite in the book, by the way.
So.
And interestingly, the guy we were praising for his tackling, McGowan, had a tough game.
Yeah, had a tough game. He did. I'm glad you brought that up because we were very adamant about him last week, and he had a tough game.
Right. Todd writes in, any chance Bill O'Brien, conservative play calling in the second half and especially on the final two drives, I don't think it was O'Brien's decision to go for it on fourth down. Maybe Belichick thought we have to be more aggressive, took over the play calling, and went too far the other way. Just a theory.
I don't think we were conservative at all in the game. At all. I mean, do you?
A lot of people were feeling that.
I mean, we've had a lot of people say, why didn't they run the ball on the last drive? Why wouldn't they run the ball? They didn't.
A lot of people felt that the Patriots on defense got a little conservative at the end.
I don't think they did that either. I mean, according to Belichick, they didn't. He flat out was asked that question and said no. Now, that doesn't mean that they
didn't. I didn't see any great changes.
I didn't see any changes. They played the whole game with 5 and 6 defensive backs.
At one point, a great offense was wiping the field with a questionable defense, and it was the Patriots. Then at another point, a great offense was wiping the field with a questionable defense, and it was the Colts. I think it kind of played out how we suspected. We knew that the offenses were going to show up and put up a lot of yards and a lot of points, and we kind of wondered which defense would do enough. Well, at various portions, both defenses showed they're fraudulent, that they don't deserve to be 1-2 in the NFL in points allowed. And
great point. Great point about the defenses.
It kind of played out how we expected it to. From the beginning, we thought the Patriots would target the young defensive backs and take advantage of the mismatch. And what do? They came out chucking it to Randy. What was it, 55 yards on the first series, 63 on the next series? I mean, there was a lot of here that played out as, you know, lame analysts like us expected it to play out.
Yep. Brad in Ohio says, I believe the call was the right thing to do. Just look at the Colts. 3 scoring drives before the fourth down call. 8 plays, 80 yards and 302. 5 plays, 79 yards and 204. And 6 plays, 79 yards and 149.
Only one of those would have worked, by the way. If you want to go strictly by the statistics, they didn't have 204 and they didn't have 329.
The bottom line is that either the Pats' D was worn out or Manning figured them out. Either way, Belichick knew that if Manning got the ball back, he was going to score. Also, this loss is not that big of a deal. Yes, it was the Colts, and losing to them always sucks. And yes, home field advantage would be nice, but it's not a necessity. While we may not get a first-round bye, chances are we will have the division wrapped up early and can sit the starters the last week of the season. I have 2 questions for you guys. 1, do you think Bill Belichick makes the same decision if this was a playoff game? And 2, do you think the game would have been different if we still had Richard Seymour? Well, I think they would have liked him at the end of that game.
Yes, especially based on what you guys are saying.
Right.
I don't think he would have made a different decision based on if it was the playoffs or the Super Bowl. I mean, I believe him when he says at the time he made the decision he thought would allow his team to win the football game or gave the team the best chance to win it. I think he would do the exact same thing. You can just magnify the criticism if this were a playoff game or a Super Bowl by tenfold.
Yeah. Why do we only talk about the touchdown drives?
Well, we had the interception.
The last three scoring drives.
Well, you know, because in the midst of those last 3 scoring drives, Indianapolis had the ball. 4 plays, gained 24 yards and was intercepted. 6 plays, gained 16 yards and had a punt. And then they scored a touchdown, one of those drives that the emailer mentioned. Then the next drive after that, 1 play, no yards, interception. So 3 of the last 5 drives were unsuccessful until they gave them the ball on the 28-yard line or the 29-yard line.
And as we said, thanks to the great Shane Donaldson, the Patriots' drives on offense
were similar. I have that right in front of me. I mean, they had 4 plays, 9 yards, 7 plays, 13 yards, 7 plays, 25 yards, punt. You know, those are the last 3 drives of the game for them. They punted, kicked a field goal when they took over in field goal range, and then turned it over on downs.
So the last three drives,
they didn't do anything.
Right. Derek thinks he sees a disturbing trend. It seems to me like the Patriots are now turning into front runners. Everything is smooth as silk when they're in control of the game, but as soon as the going gets tough, they look like the pressure is getting to them. The last few times they have played Indy, they have failed because they turn into pussies at the end of the game. Just an absolutely unforgivable fourth quarter by the Patriots. I am actually in the camp that happens to agree with Belichick's call to go for it, because if they punted, they would have lost the same way. Well, you can't say that for certain, but that's my belief. For the first time ever, I believe that Peyton is a better quarterback than Tommy. Tommy failed just as much as Bill did. He looked like he pooped himself when they went for it.
Freddie, we wrote about this in the paper, but the NBC pregame show did their little poll of living Hall of Fame quarterbacks and asked those 20 guys, some of which I've never heard of, at least 2 of them, to pick between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and 13.5 of them went with Peyton Manning. 2.5 went with Tom Brady.
Hell no.
I found that amazing. I found that more amazing than the
87%.
Yeah, 4 guys chose to abstain. But I find that more amazing than the 87%. Because, I mean, do we assume that's based on hate, too, or something? I mean, I think those guys would just pick who they thought was better.
Tom says, I blame the 2 turnovers in the end zone for the loss, at a minimum 10 more points, not Belichick's faux pas. It should have never been a factor. Yeah, but as one of our emailers just pointed out, our callers, you know, even with the Maroney fumble, they stopped the Colts, so it's not like it led to points and then scored right after.
And
that.
Then they returned the punt back to the same spot of the fumble.
Right.
But so, you never know. I have to be consistent. Butterfly effect. Who knows how it would have played.
Right. You don't know. Yeah.
And it wasn't a fumble in the end zone because, you know, he wasn't in the end zone when he fumbled. Because had he been in the end zone when he fumbled, he would have been a touchdown.
Right. No, but the point is people are automatically adding 7 points to that, and I don't think you can do that. It's for the same reason you just said, the butterfly effect.
Adam and Charlotte said Brady didn't choke. Who was that idiot? And we all make Belichick out to be some god, but he learns as each game goes on and adjusts better than anyone. And Bill, we trust to learn from his mistakes.
Aside from the last sentence, I agree with that. And that's why I'm now questioning my own analysis of the defense. I think he, better than anyone, learns as the games go on. And 8 games and whatever minutes into the season, he didn't really have a lot of confidence in his defense.
Remember Karen, our flight attendant, when we were
yes.
that other airline?
Absolutely.
Or well, same
it was this airline.
Yeah,
she
same
just,
airline.
You know,
she's emailing.
There anymore.
She says, first let me say I'm enjoying listening to you guys. I listen as often as I can, and I'm glad to see you back on TV on Tuesday nights. Love the addition of the suits. You all look really handsome. Why isn't Eric on the show? I'm sure you are not that happy with the suit wearing, right? Yeah, they don't allow sweaters at Neckens, so he couldn't. I have been looking forward to hearing your take on this game in that last call. My brother moved to Dubai, and I was trying to do a play-by-play for him on AIM. I was typing as I was watching, so I was making a lot of typos, and when I typed that they were going for it, he thought I made a typing error, and he was typing back, and I was not reading it, and he was typing in larger and larger type to get my attention, and he was pretty frustrated. Anyway, I'm no football genius, but that never stopped me from having an opinion. So here are my thoughts. I understand why the coach made that decision. Would have put the game away, but I don't think the odds were great. They hadn't been able to get a first down yet, so why would you think they could do it now? And that decision gave the team one chance to get it right. By punting, they would have had several chances to put the game away. Also, if they had a good running game, it never would have come down to that. What about Maroney? His fumble was costly. I think he suffers from what Ben Watson suffered from the past few seasons. He was affected by the criticism. This year, he stopped paying attention to all the criticism, and now he's playing well, but I digress. So who lost this game, the playing or the coaching? What were you thinking when the decision was made? I read your game blog, Fred. It was fun to read that.
I got that can of soda for you, Freddie. To put your back and tray table up and quit your bitching, huh?
Speaking of which, I could use a Diet Pepsi.
Well, you know, Karen brings up the running game, and, you know.
Well, that's something that was posed a couple times in Ask PFW. Gone are the days when you had that power running back and you could kind of salt away victories. And they are gone. I mean, you don't have that right now. That's not the way the team is built. But I just think you have to play your team that you have.
Yeah. I with Neal out, Connolly in. I don't know, in case you're having a hard time, I don't know. And that brings up the point a lot of people, while I was blogging, and this is before all hell broke loose, was, you know, praising Vollmer, and he did have a really good
tremendous
game, but also saying, you know, this is the end of either Cager or Light. What are you going to do? When Light's better, you got to keep Vollmer on the field.
Well, I after this game, that's certainly the impression you're left with, because he dominated Freeney for a lot of the clips that I saw. Now, I'm sure it wasn't perfect, but there was at least one play where he punched Freeney and threw him to the ground.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't get a holding, because usually when a tackle throws a guy to the ground, they call holding. But
yeah,
this was
definitely
a
wasn't
legitimate
holding.
Punch.
Yeah.
On the other side, I thought Mathis did whatever he wanted to Cager. He beat him to the outside. He beat him to the inside, threw him out of the way, and bull rushed him at various times. And that was Paul saying Christ, because Sienna's come back on Northeastern and is now has a large lead.
Choke.
It gets back to the question, first of all, what you think of Vollmer. Is he your left tackle? Or does he get moved to the right because we know Bill thinks he can play
the
right?
I think if you – Paul is very angry. He's watching ESPN, and Northeastern's playing Sienna, and they're blowing it, and he's throwing cups around the studio.
Do you want me to turn your mic off, Paul?
Yeah.
Before an F-bomb goes
– Is that safer for all parties?
Don't worry about it.
So what were you saying about the tackles?
Well, I'm saying that if what we're seeing with Vollmer is right, if our eyes aren't deceiving us, you got to keep him at left tackle because he's the future. Matt Light's been in the league since 2001, and you tell Matt, look, we're going to extend your career.
Ball game.
We're going to move you to another position and extend your career. And we're going to keep Vollmer in. And I think
how do we know he can play right
the
tackle?
You just took the words out of my mouth. That's
what
the
about
thing.
What about moving him to guard where Neal is? Do you think he could play guard?
Why do we want to get Stephen Neal out of the lineup?
He does it himself, Paul. He's always hurt.
He missed like 3 plays all season.
Well, okay.
Don't like Stephen Neal.
Love Stephen Neal. He's a wrestler.
You think he's out of the lineup? You think he's out of the lineup way more often than he is? Let's put it that way.
That's true.
Could Matt Light be a good guard?
I have no idea.
I don't know why you would want to make him one.
Well, I'm just saying.
Do I think so? No.
Well, what do we do here?
I don't think he's powerful enough.
Do you keep Vollmer off the field?
No. I like Vollmer. I would take Cashier out, but you have to find out if you're playing Vollmer at right or left. That's all.
Right.
If Light can play the right side, I would
it's simple.
Vollmer
if Wright can play right tackle, then it's simple.
If
there's
not
really much of a debate.
If not, I put Vollmer at the right side. I know he can play right tackle because he did it all training camp, and Bill obviously was preparing him to play both sides.
But I agree with Fred. That's unfortunate. I'd rather have Vollmer just, you know, left tackle. That's what you're going
right,
to
right, because that's my future.
But it's all up to Light.
That's how I would rather have it.
He has played left tackle for what? I mean, since 1997 or whatever, when he got to Purdue. And was
longer than Wheatley's been playing cornerback.
Yeah, how's that worked out for you?
Vollmer's been... Sunday night, Vollmer was...
Well, it's
good,
a progression.
As good at left
now you see
as
the
you
progression.
Play.
So now you want to see more of the progression. You want him to play out this stretch and just get better each week.
And Freeney threw everything at him, too. We were watching that a lot. Andy and I were watching that specific matchup a lot.
Yeah.
And there were times he was just trying to beat him wide.
Yeah. And
there were times that he would start wide and do his quick spin move. There were times he tried to bull rush him. He threw everything at him, and he got some pressure, but not a whole lot.
Well, I mean, he's
Mathis, yeah. Well, that's what, and Bill said it. Listen, when you're playing a guy that good, they're going to make plays.
Right.
And there were times, you know, and Bill said this as well, you know, he had some help. But I don't think he got as much help this week as he did last week against Miami.
And that's what I like, and that's why I agree with you, Fred. If you at all possibly can, if he's your left tackle, you want to see that progression, which includes reps at left tackle. If they meet, say they meet again in the AFC title game,
right?
Wouldn't it be nice to just go in thinking, you know what? I feel pretty confident Vollmer's just going to stonewall Dwight Freeney.
Yeah,
little
now
to no help. Right,
right.
To have a strength, because I don't think you've ever had that with Light. I don't think you've ever had. Well, he'll just stonewall whoever's on the other side of the ball. He's been good, not great. If you in any way can develop Vollmer into he wins these battles with elite rushers 90% of the time or whatever it is, that makes your team better. That gives you more options, either more guys to help elsewhere or more guys to go out in the routes.
Sure. And I'll give you the nod on that one, Freddie. You were all over Vollmer the day they drafted him.
I know my German draft picks.
Just like you were all over Terrence Wheatley the day they drafted him.
That's true. But we make fun of him for that, so I think we should give him the credit for
it's
the
more fun
the
to make
outside.
Fun than it is to
well, that's what
praise.
We do.
Brian writes in, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but let's just say that it was an epic game. Tough loss, but damn, that was entertaining. Just a quick note to Paul's comments that there was no reason for the field goal and not going for 4th and 8. The field goal meant the Colts needed 2 touchdowns and not just a touchdown and a field goal to tie. Personally,
thanks.
I think the final field goal was a big deal. With that said, I agree.
Bill didn't.
With that said, I agree with the crux of Paul's argument. I blame the offense for not getting a first down in that drive, not just the 4th down call.
Just to sort of reiterate my stance on that, I don't think they should have gone for it on 4th and 8. I'm saying if you don't think you can stop them from getting a touchdown up 6, what's the difference? I'm saying it's inconsistent thinking on the coaching staff's part. You went for the field goal on 4th and 8 when the difference was between 10 and 13, which to me is very marginal. You didn't think that you could hold on to the 6-point lead either. So you got those extra 3, but you didn't think it mattered.
Right.
I would have kicked the field goal and punted, because that's what you do on 4th and 8 and 4th and 2 from your own 28.
That was very impressive, Paul, the way you kept talking while watching Northeastern lay it in.
Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, and Eric, there is one
Go
huge
screw yourself, Kevin.
There is one huge positive that we can take from this game. Our players can beat the Colts in Indy. I know we have not won on the road yet. The London game doesn't count, but we can have the confidence knowing that we can do it.
Why
Anybody
do we have
concerned
that?
About
you
that,
lost.
By the way?
What's
the
that?
Road losing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, they haven't won, really.
They're 0-3 on the road.
With this game being a loss, we will have to go on the road in order to make it to the AFC Championship. Barring a huge disaster in the rest of the season, we will more than likely be the 3rd seed and have to go to Cincy to get to Indy. We are going to be fine. Belichick will get it back. No worries. Keep positive, and we are not out of the playoffs yet, so everyone needs to relax and get off Belichick's ass.
Well, I don't think it'll take a huge collapse to be a 2 seed. I mean, you're in the running for that.
I think you were saying barring a huge collapse by us, we're going to be no worse than the 3 seed.
Right, but I think you can be the 2 seed. I think that's very much in the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
The only thing gone is
yeah.
the 1 seed.
But I think we don't have to collapse to be the 4 seed.
Right.
I mean, everybody's even right now, right?
Yeah. Right. But I'm just saying I still think there's a chance they get the bye, and if they don't, then I think they're in trouble. You go down the same stretch that you went before, and you're watching your defense get tired because you had to play on, you know, a second straight week and all that. You know, somebody said it doesn't matter about when have they gone to the Super Bowl
matters.
When they didn't have a bye.
Right.
I mean, 85. That matters.
85?
Right. Doesn't matter so much. It's been, you know, almost three decades, two and a half decades.
And listen,
could
anytime,
be a good new DVD series, Four Games to Glory.
It obviously matters because
it's livening up.
It's harder to win on the road than it is to win at home. I mean, it's just very simple. It's like Fred's
especially
thing. It's easier to you know, dissect your schedule at the end of the season than at the beginning.
At least when the Giants did it, all season they were better on the road than they were at home. They were like 7-1 on the road that year.
Sean writes in, the bottom line is that we don't have a consistent pass rush. If we would have pressured Manning, he would not have been able to march down the field as effectively. It's the same story every game. If we had a person like Freeney or Mathis, our young secondary would look like Pro Bowlers.
We do. His name is Banta Kane. He got hurt and the whole defense fell apart.
You laugh, but that might have been what it came down to.
I don't think you get pressure on Manning, so I'm not sure that was the hugest deal here. But in general, I think that's the flaw of the defense. I think the back end is good enough. I think the run stopping is good enough, and the pass rush is relatively non-existent.
And I made that comment last week that everything looks better now, and people are convinced that we're getting more pressure on the pass. I don't think you're getting any more pressure on the passer this year than you did last year. It's just that the secondary is better this year, and that's why your overall pass defense has improved. I think we're saying the same things when we're not winning that we did last year, only it happened more often last year because the secondary was terrible.
Has anyone skated better than Derek Burgess? I just praised him for speaking, but no one really talks about him not doing anything.
Yeah,
he's just non-existent over there for the most part.
Yeah, you almost forget that he's on
right.
the field sometimes.
You almost forget that. You traded a 3 and a 5 in training camp to get him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was supposed to be an impact player.
It's not like I've seen him around plays, and you know he's been pretty good against the run, I think, stretching out plays. I think you don't see a lot of the big plays at him, but he's not like he's out of position or anything, but he's not making the big play. And
that's
what you thought about.
Right.
That's what you thought about with Derek Burgess. He's playing like Tully Banta Kane used to play. You know, he's okay.
And this year he's not as good as
Banta
Kane.
Right.
That's
on the phone right now, 508-543-7482 is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing? Anthony.
He jumped in one of the pools
Doc,
and was cleaning.
Doc lost him.
Nice job, Doc.
He had the he's
I
all
had him there.
He's all upset. He had the intro music ready to go and everything, and wow.
It's kind of like the in-game entertainment.
Now, what time did Anthony call? Because I didn't keep him on hold that long, did I? Doc's not even. Now he's not even paying attention.
He can't even hear you.
He called in at about 1:20.
All right, so
barely 10, 15 minutes.
Come on, Anthony.
Better than
and
that.
And I just checked with him 2 minutes before
and
he
And there's
went
Anthony
to him.
On the phone.
So.
Joining us on the phone now. That's how Fred always likes to say. 508-543-7482.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We have so many emails. It's unbelievable.
Read them.
Instead
of saying how many we have.
He'd rather just say we have so many.
I'm trying to get to some good ones.
Oh, a little bit of a shot at the emailers there.
Well, a lot of them are just, you know.
Tom Brady-like shot. What do you want us to do?
Ryan says, hey, guys, and Andy. It looks as
Screw
if the
you,
second
Ryan.
Seed and the bye are going to come down to the Pats and the Bengals. The Bengals have a cupcake schedule down the stretch, have a one-game lead on the Pats, and currently have a tiebreaker on conference record.
Can I just interrupt? Because this is the second email in a row that seems to be thinking that San Diego has no chance to finish with a better record than Cincinnati or New England. They're only one game behind.
Yeah.
Well, with the Patriots, they're tied.
Right.
Like, I don't understand that. Why are they not in the running for the...
How about Denver?
The AFC West champ. Why is that? Right. Why is the AFC West champ?
Especially
not
Broncos
in the,
who hold the head-to-head.
Yeah.
Particularly in that division where they have four cupcake wins. They're not going to lose to Kansas City and Oakland.
Right. The only question that matters now and for the rest of the year is, can the Pats catch the Bengals? The Pats won't be the first seed, but they will be the AFC East champ. Looks like the fourth seed is going to the AFC West. If the Pats catch the Bengals, we're the second seed. If we don't, we're the third and host a wild card game. Anything I'm missing there? Well, Paul just made.
Well, today you're the fourth seed because the Broncos beat us, and they're in first place technically because they beat San Diego.
Right. But.
I know that you can't do that.
Being
but,
in first place in November.
Exactly. But I don't understand the dismissal. That's all.
I'll tell you what I won't dismiss after watching it is the Bengals defense. You know, normally you'd say going into Cincinnati,
no
problem. That Bengals defense looks legit.
Ironically,
I don't want to be disrespectful.
I don't know if they have the offense.
It's a bunch of Samoans with ponytails that just get in the backfield every play.
Yeah, ironically, I don't know if they have the offense to keep up. Because
I think
the Patriots
the biggest
will move
issue
the
ball. Is in a year when they're finally good and it's about football, it's about the defensive line, they go out and sign Larry Johnson.
Right.
And I just...
Did they sign him?
As far as I know. Yeah, it was
sounds
reported.
Like it's a done deal.
No, I just feel like that can totally disrupt what you have going.
Yeah, see, that's a panic move, too, because Benson got hurt, and he's not going to be out that long. You're probably not going to need him that much the next three games. That's a terrible decision.
Stripper says the alpha male doesn't punt. That is all.
The alpha male.
On the phone.
The alpha male doesn't win.
Earlier he wrote in, but now he's calling. Colt Daddy is on the phone right now. Colt Daddy, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
We're doing well. We could be doing better.
Yeah, you broke my heart a few times, too.
Not for a while, though.
Now, I sent a second email talking about the brilliance of the decision. Is anyone talking about, you know, if you punt the ball, Peyton could score and you lose. Or if you go for it and you don't convert, he could score and you lose. But, I mean, if you give him a short field, he might score quick and then you get the ball back. Has anyone considered that might be what he was thinking?
Well, I have heard that
brought
up.
People have considered that. But, I mean, to me it's flawed logic because they're obviously knowing that you can't stop the clock. The Patriots didn't have any timeouts left, and Peyton Manning is going to make sure he takes up as much of that time as he can.
He said that post game.
He talked about that post game.
Yeah. That was what I thought, because I was sitting there. I was worried once we got the ball back on the final drive that we'd score, you know, within a play or two passing and run no clock down. And then you'd get the ball back and either get a field goal or a touchdown and win.
Well, but from your perspective, the Patriots weren't moving the ball. They were in this situation because they couldn't get a first down there. They couldn't move the ball. Why would you be worried that with, you know, 20 seconds left, they were going to be able to drive it down your throat?
Well, a minute and 20, I would have been worried. 20, I would. If I were the Colts with 20 seconds, I'd have felt pretty good. But a minute 20,
I wouldn't have been worried
if
I were them.
If I got Brady or Manning and I got any time on the clock,
I would have been worried.
I think we're all right.
So
I agree.
Colt Daddy, were you at the game?
No.
Oh, okay. No. I thought at Indianapolis, everybody had to go. It was the law.
Well, I had to move to North Carolina a couple years
ago.
Oh,
okay.
I can't get on board with the Panthers.
All right.
I can see how that would be a problem with some of those guys.
All right, guys.
All right, Colt.
See you,
Daddy. There you go. Colt fan.
Now we have Colt fans from North Carolina listening to us.
He had a very nice man in the press box, by the way, Freddie.
Thank you.
Kept coming over to us and practicing his stand-up routine.
Yeah.
He would come over and he would just... randomly start telling us dirty jokes.
He started with clean jokes, then he got more comfortable with us, then became dirtier.
I don't know.
Like
just
a
some guy in the box
attendant guy.
I actually saw him downstairs when we were on the way out because he came over and he says, man, he goes, that Brady, does he ever miss? Does he ever have an off throw? And, you know, we were just kind of joking with him. And then, you know, downstairs, I went up to him. I said, you know, your guy doesn't miss too many either, you know. And he goes, it is quite a pleasure watching those two play football.
Freddie, you should get in on that DVD. Why don't you make that one next?
What, the Colts-Patriots rivalry?
Colts-Patriots Manning-Brady.
Yeah.
Can you do that without the approval of the other team?
I don't think so. I think you need the
imagine
NFL.
Imagine what Poland would do.
I think you need the NFL involved.
What the hell is this guy doing?
Lund from South Dakota, the one thing in the game that I noticed that was the defensive line and backers were getting some pressure on Manning. However, towards the end of the game, with the depth problem as to why they were tired, was that the problem they – was that why they were tired and not getting there? Was because of the depth? Because I watched quite a few plays where the O-line stood them up on their toes and not let them move. It just seemed like he had all the time to throw to whoever at the end.
Yeah, I thought he had, for the most part, time to throw to whoever all day. I mean, there were a couple of plays. You know, the one sack, Mayo came untouched, and Manning just dove to the ground.
Ended up a Colvin sack where he touched him down.
GT in North Carolina reminds me, he says, surprised Fred hasn't mentioned the crucial pass interference call yet. I know the Colts scored shortly after, but what was the down and distance before that ridiculous
call? First and 10.
But that was a bad call, I thought.
It was close. I don't like the officials, so I'll automatically say it was a bad call.
Here's kind of where I wish they would draw the line with those pass interference. If the guy's looking at the ball and – they're both looking at the ball. It can't be pass interference if he's making a move on the ball. Because who was it? Bodden was looking up.
It was Butler and Colley.
Butler. And, you know.
By the way, he dropped the ball anyway. That's another drop. His ball should have been caught.
Yeah. But, you know, Butler was looking up at the ball, and Colley slowed down. So Butler, you know.
It was first and 10.
They had contact. But they were both looking up at the ball. And I think that shouldn't have been a call. you know.
I'd have to see it again. I don't think they really showed a good
replay.
Yeah,
I haven't seen replays of it, so I...
It was described to me that the ball was slightly underthrown and the receiver came back for the ball and bumped into Butler. That's a penalty if that's what happened.
No, but Butler was up, going up for the ball. He was looking up at the
ball.
But
you can't hit the guy. Just he because did. You're looking back. I didn't see it, so I'm not commenting
I
on
saw
that.
It.
I'm not commenting on that.
You also saw a first
they
down.
They were both turned toward the ball looking up. And Holly slowed down. And
that's a penalty.
No, but
then.
Butler was – you have a right to go for the ball.
But you don't have a right to go through the receiver to go for the ball. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, he didn't. If
well,
anything –
I'm just saying, the way it's been described to me, it's a penalty.
Okay.
I didn't see a good replay
okay,
of it.
I don't
so
know who the idiot was that
but
described
I will,
it to you.
I will automatically – well, the way you just described it to me, it's a penalty.
No, it isn't.
You just said they're both looking for the ball, and Colley came back and bumped into Butler.
Right.
That's a penalty.
Butler didn't go in through him. He didn't go through him.
But you can't – right. First of all, I'm going to automatically assume it was a bad call because I think 99% of the calls on pass interference are wrong. So I'm going to assume it was a bad call.
Well,
I think the officials stink.
Well, Jay from Hanson says, I thought a real problem, especially in the second half, was the play of Nick Kazier. Robert Mathis just abused him. Kazier's play in the second half reminded me of Max Lane's against Reggie White in the Super Bowl. Mathis
right.
was literally throwing Kazier out of the way.
Yep, you're right.
On the other hand, Vollmer was tremendous. He made Freeney invisible. My question is, once Light is healthy, can he play right tackle? Is it a difficult transition to shift from the right left side to the right side?
You want
to
handle that, Paul?
Before we get to that, I just want to – also, I thought the interference call on the Butler on the next-to-last TD drive was questionable, to say the least. Butler was looking at the ball when contact was made with Colley, and I think Colley initiated the contact. So, anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like that was a bad call, by the way, by the amount of talk that pass interference has gotten.
The shift from the left to the right, you know, Belichick explained that for some guys, he says it's not that hard. But for others, you know, because everything is now flowing from a completely different angle, some guys have a hard time adjusting.
And wouldn't you think it'd be harder maybe for a guy who for the last, I mean, whatever it is, 12 or 13 years has been
right.
just a left tackle?
But I will say this about Matt Light. He's pretty smart. He's a smart guy.
He's intellectually,
yes.
he's a
That's
genius.
What I mean.
Isn't that...
But I'm talking muscle memory and just repetition.
Yeah.
He's been, over the years, he's a Pavlovian dog. He has done everything the same way when it's been told to him in this system, and I just think he might be hard to break him of that. There might be too big a change. I don't know.
Well, I think it would be great if he could, because then you really do have, you know, your best guys out there. And, you know, I would hate to see Vollmer watching football instead of playing it. Because he's shown he can play at this level.
Regardless of what happens, that's not going to be the case for long.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he doesn't go back in there this year when everybody's healthy, he's not going to be on the bench very long.
No. But I'll be stunned if he spends any significant time on the bench this year.
I think so, too. I think Kazier's going to end up leaving that starting lineup.
And the other question is, and I know there's not a huge size difference and build difference between Kazier and Light, but is Light powerful enough? In theory, that's your more powerful tackle position.
Yeah.
It's your most teams are right-handed. They run that way. You know, kind of prototypically, a right tackle has a little more run-blocking ability, and I'm not sure if Light has those. And the other question I'd have is, what would that do to your screen game? Because your screen game is often based on
– Yeah.
I just – there's a lot of questions there that only Dante Scarnecchi and Bill Belichick can answer.
Greg and Seacon, this is going to make Paul mad, this email. The reason you are still talking about this game is you need a job. This is nothing new. There is not much this team or the fans have not seen over the last decade. We should act like our team and move on. The Jets on Sunday should be our focus. Maybe with a little luck and skill, we will meet this Colts team in January. I am a loyal Patriots fan, and I feel it was a gutsy call. I don't think it was a lack of confidence in the defense. Like Brady said, it's a game of inches, and if we make the first down, Belichick is a hero. Move on. Bring on the Jets. So, that was Paul's reaction to the Siena game, wasn't it?
No, that was his reaction to that email. He wanted to punch the guy.
No, I mean, we got to talk about it. Come on. You know, people need to vent. They need to get their opinions out there.
Yeah,
even if we're treating it as the team, Teddy Bruschi said you don't move on until Wednesday. He was still pissed off
night. I would just – my point to the people, tell me the example. You said this is nothing new, I think was the quote that he used. This is not – just give me another example of this. That's all. Give me another example in the NFL where a team with a six-point lead with 2:08 left went for a fourth down from inside their own 30. Because I don't think there is one.
Yeah.
So don't tell me just this kind of stuff happens every day. It doesn't.
Call them stupid. Go. The fans. Call them stupid.
What's going on with the Siena game, Paul?
The Huskies are in full-fledged choke mode.
Oh, boy.
What was the biggest lead?
14, I think.
They're down 7?
8.
Rob from Rochester, New York, a few observations. Seems that through the years, when we need a first down to run the clock and win the game, we fail. 2, when we need a defensive stop to win against the better teams, we don't get it. 3, how can the defense give up 14 points in 3 quarters and then give up 21 in 1 quarter without there being a turnover? 4, when a team goes about 75 yards twice in 2 minutes or less, perhaps you should change up the defense a little. 5, with this offense, how can you not gain 2 yards on 2 tries? I think 2 quick passes to Welker, screen to the side or over the middle would have been better, or try Ben Jarvis Green Ellis run on 3rd down, as he seems like he can usually move a pile, or Falk run.
6.
Who had a 6.6 yard per carry average. 6. How does one back average 6.6 yards and the other 2.4 on the same amount of carries?
Because one guy is getting carries in passing situations, right, and the other guy is getting them in running situations.
And 7. Don't tell me that wasn't the game plan this week, was to, they think we're going to attack them in the secondary, spread them out, and then run.
Right. With Falk.
Right.
7. Oh, yeah. Finally, I would rather have been outplayed and lost by 10 or 14 points than this comeback crap.
8.
So that was...
Well, you could have, you know, put it to bed earlier if you just got dominated and couldn't win the game. Obviously, it's more painful. That's why, you know, they're comebacks and nail-biters and... heartbreakers. Mike, oh, where does this one? Got to redo that heartbreaker list.
We already
that was
did.
Recently,
yeah. Actually, Matt talked about
it.
It was
so funny. We just did the top 10 heartbreakers on Patriots.com a couple weeks ago.
And this is number 2 for you, you said, right?
This would be, well.
Right behind the Super Bowl?
I'd say 3.
What was the other one?
The AFC Championship game loss.
Oh, yeah.
Mike and Charlotte, the Pats not making the 4th down is not what bothered me. It was the Pats going into a prevent defense in the 4th quarter.
They did.
They had a defensive scheme for 3 quarters that was working well, and then they stopped attacking the Colts' offense. It should never have come to that 4th down play. That and the Maroney fumble is what cost them the game. Again,
they didn't do that.
I don't think I think it was a bad play, Maroney fumbling on the goal line. You never want to see your running back do that. But it didn't cost them the game. They came right back and scored without another score from the Colts in between.
They played on first down in the first quarter, the same defense they played on first down from the 29-yard line. Now, I would say the last play of the game, but the last play was a goal line play.
Right.
So that's a little bit different. First down from the 29, up 34-28, was the same defensive scheme they had on first down and 10 in the first quarter to open the game. They had a slew of extra defensive backs every play. So if you want to say that's sitting back at a prevent, that's how they played the whole game.
Joe in Portland is on the phone. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, boys?
Great.
What's up, Joe?
Good. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. I know everyone's probably still talking about the call on fourth down. I want to go a different direction. Did you guys have any analysis on, there was a series where Brady went 3 and out, and it looked like he was just winging the ball at the ground.
We talked about that, end of the second quarter.
Yeah. Did you? Sorry, I just got to tune in. So.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on there. It was kind of weird. I don't know if the Colts were, you know, he just saw pressure that he wasn't seeing before and just decided he needed to get rid of the ball. But that was kind of odd. I thought that they didn't get any production whatsoever out of those drives, and Brady did not look himself for whatever reason.
It was just that one series, which brings me up to the other thing I noticed about this game, which everyone I'm sure is probably pretty upset right now, and we're coming down on the team a little bit. But I thought Vollmer looked ridiculous from everything I could see. I mean, it seems like he was owning pretty much the whole game. I mean, is that the way you guys feel about it?
He definitely showed the quick feet for a big man that I saw early
in the power. He threw him to the ground with just disdain at times.
And that's the one thing that, you know, at Houston, you know, he didn't have the best of competition, and he had only played for 2 years, so people didn't really know what to make from him. But when they brought him to those pro camps at the end of the year, the one thing these scouts were saying is, wow, look at his feet. For a guy his size.
And, Joe, we just spent the last 15 minutes or whatever it was actually trying to break down how he stays in the lineup, whether Light can play the right side, because I think it's pretty clear he's the left tackle of the future, and right now even looks like the left tackle of the present. So it looks like there could be an interesting decision there on the line in the coming weeks.
And, you know, again, Belichick on EEI, he didn't rule it out.
Nope.
He said, right now we don't have to think about it, but when Matt's ready, it'll be something that we'll have to consider.
Yep.
That's not his usual response.
And he said that repetitively now for a week and a half or 2 weeks.
Yeah. So he's putting a lot of people on notice there that, you know, anything can happen once you're all healthy.
And you know what I like about this? You know what it reminds me of? Gerard Mayo. Remember last year, before the season even started, he said, I think Gerard Mayo will be on the field a lot for us this year and be involved in a lot of our different schemes in a variety of ways. Before he had done anything, before he had started and made adjustments, any of that. And he did that with Vollmer very early on. He was very high on him from day one. And that leads me to believe he thinks he's not only going to be a starter, but he can be something special, can be an anchor of that offensive line.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
I had a couple more things I wanted to jump on real quick. Sorry.
All right, well, you called all the way from Portland, so, you know.
So I was reading NFL, and I think they were saying something. It was a quick thing. It's on their front page on the mobile site or whatever. And Marks was talking about why Bill did go for it on fourth and second. One of the things he was saying was that he said it looked like our defensive line was just gassed. I mean, do you guys buy that? I mean, I saw a couple of screenshots where they're flashing in, and it looks like our guys were dying out there towards the end.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I can see it definitely being the case because, you know, I think that's one of the factors that went into that decision was the condition of our defense at that time. And, you know, I just think that Bill didn't have any confidence that they could get it done because whether they were gassed or just outmatched because of the injuries – you know, that all factored in.
Players poo-pooed that. I know post-game Mike Wright and Derek Burgess poo. And I wouldn't expect them to say, we had no chance. We were out of energy. We couldn't do anything. But they said, you play four quarters. It's what you do. You play football.
And they had a time of possession edge of 35 to 25.
Now, the no huddle, you know, is an aspect of that.
And they were on the field a lot lately.
25 minutes, they're packing more plays into that 25 minutes maybe than a normal offense might. But the bottom line is they got beat. Defensively, they got beat. And offensively, they may have beaten themselves.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to touch on one more thing, if I could, and then I'll let you go. Lawrence Maroney, how are you guys feeling on him? I think I kind of turned critical, you know, the beginning of this year, and he's had like little flashes in games where I was like, wow, you know, that was good. Like in the Tennessee game, he found a hole and just plowed it right up in there. But I mean, how do you guys think he did this week?
I think he ran hard early.
He was terrible this week.
I think they bottled him up later. But again, you know, they were running Falk on a lot of draw plays and passing situations, so he looked a lot better than Maroney.
I'm not comparing him to Falk. I'm comparing him to himself.
I think he looked fine. I
think he's the same as he's always been. You can't count on him.
Occasionally,
you're going to get flashes. Occasionally, you're going to get terrible mistakes. And the bottom line is he's never going to be what you thought he was based on his potential, based on his draft status, or anything else.
That's exactly how I feel in a nutshell.
Yeah. I'm in agreement there.
Okay. All right, Joe.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Now, is he from Portland, Maine, or Oregon?
It just said Portland.
Oh.
Oregon.
Oh. He did call from a long way. I don't know how that's relative to how many questions he's allowed to ask.
Brett writes that it must be nice to be able to criticize decisions from an armchair watching a TV after seeing the result. If it had worked, everyone would be hailing Belichick as a visionary and a great decision maker. The great thing about Belichick is he doesn't care what anyone thinks, regardless if he wins or loses.
That's true.
And while everyone talks about this, he is preparing for the Jets. Better to put the game in the hands of your Hall of Fame quarterback and offense than your defense. Good decision. Get ready for the Jets.
Well, I understand the logic. That's clearly the logic. I just don't agree with it, and I didn't at the time.
And the other thing is, do we have any more credentials to praise him for good decisions?
No, but those are okay. They agree with him.
You know, if he decides to go into a game and play, you know, no defensive linemen and it works to perfection and we sit there and talk for the whole week, wow, what an innovative game plan. Are we any more qualified to say that than we are to say that he shouldn't have gone for it on fourth down? No. Right? I mean, we're not coaches. We're not privy to the game plan.
Well, it is true, though. If he had made it, we'd be like, wow.
I wouldn't have.
I was very upset.
You might have, because that's what you do. Lawrence Maroney, you cut ties with him and he had a good game and you jumped on his back.
When Chris Hansen was sprinting off the field, I looked at Andy. I said, is he going for it? We're going to go for it from our own 28-yard line?
But if he
that's before the play.
If we had made it.
No, it's a bad call.
Everybody would have been saying, wow, no one would do that but only Belichick.
It's a bad call.
Nobody knows his team better than him.
We made the one in Atlanta. Did I say that after that? No, it was a bad call. Called in too, and you only needed one chain link. Then it was a little more defensible there.
Well,
the other aspect of it is, don't they always say in these tight games you extend the game, you give your itself the opportunity to win.
That's usually when you're losing.
But I think he did the opposite. He put the game on the line before he had to.
He made it come down to one play because he decided
with 2 minutes to go, I'm putting the game on the line right now. The game is over after this play. I'm putting it on the line before I need to.
Well, when you're winning, you want to shorten the game. You want to end it.
Well, see, no, I don't. If you can avoid putting the game on the line at coming down to a single play, I avoid that. I want time to win the game.
Yeah, when you're winning, why would you want the game to be decided on
right.
one play?
There's a chance, theoretically, if you could be sure you win that play, sure, but you can't. When you put the game in the balance on a single play, you're ending it right there rather than giving my defense a bunch of plays where I have the ability to control it for a while.
John Rook, thoughts?
He thinks the Colts are the team of the decade.
I think that the world is going to spin off of its axis here momentarily. Primarily. You know.
Yeah, I know. The Huskies blew a 14-point lead.
The Colts suck.
I feel just like you guys do and like everybody else does. I mean, I think we're all stunned at when it happened. I've tried to let, you know, a little bit of air underneath, you know, the event happen and try to take some time to think about it. I just think I happen to agree with the general consensus that it was a poor decision. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't have made the same decision had I been there on the sidelines. I understand why Bill made the call. I understand it.
I do too.
I understand it. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
Let me put you on the line.
Understand why?
Go ahead.
University of Texas, exact same scenario. Veteran quarterback, Colt McCoy, everything.
I'm punting the ball.
And as a fan, you'd be pissed.
No.
So you wouldn't be pissed after they lose this game.
I think that's
sound.
No.
He's saying he would punt the ball.
No, but I'm saying in this situation, if this played out, mm-hmm. you were playing Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And this situation played out.
You're playing Oklahoma.
And Strippers is calling you and baiting you in the next day.
We'd be up 45-20. Okay, so that's, you know, it wouldn't even be close.
Okay, well, you can't change the scenario that I'm laying out.
Strippers, this is my hypothetical, not yours.
You'd be pissed, right?
Yeah,
Mac Brown would be a moron. We'd want to see Muschamp put him in the throne now.
I don't know, maybe.
You'd be running him out of town. I know how emotional you are.
Done that,
you said the word a-hole on this air related to Texas. You would have been trying to run Mac Brown out of town. Ego had taken over.
No, I wouldn't run him out of town. And I'm not ready to run Bill out of town either. Okay?
I'm not either.
Okay.
Because I think he's a better coach than Mac Brown.
Well, he's one of the best still of our era. So, you know, he just made a poor decision.
Right.
I understand why he's backing it up because he can't be seen as being wishy-washy by his players or anybody.
And so I don't think he is.
And well,
I don't think he's second-guessing himself.
Yesterday on Patriots Monday, I'm sure that there were fans tuning in to the big show at 5 o'clock thinking, oh, we're going to hear Bill do a mea culpa. And in fact, my own son even said that to me. And I said, no way.
Neither, I said,
that is not – if you want to listen to the show tomorrow, you know, today, later today, great, listen to it. I'll stream it. We'll do it, everything like that. We'll get in the car. We'll drive around, whatever. He's not going to give you what you're looking for.
That went out the door after the game.
Yeah.
I thought we might get that in the post game. He has very often done that. He's put it on himself. We got to coach better, whatever. When he didn't do it post game, well, I would have bet anything I owned
that
he wasn't going to do it 24 hours
that's
later.
That's absolutely right.
I never said that.
Here's the key, all right? When Bill wants to put some of the blame on himself, he always includes, we have to coach better.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So then
is that genuine?
That would have been that. Yeah, I think so. I really do.
See, I'm not so sure, and I think this one would have had to have been genuine.
I think it's as genuine as he can be. Now I don't know what that says, but I'm just telling you. I think that's how.
Because I think sometimes
Bill Belichick is.
He breaks into cliche mode and says we need to coach it better, we need to play it better, we all need to get better. That starts with me.
I think
that's cut and paste. Quote: we lost 101.
Yeah. Well, I think.
And this wasn't lost 101. This was different.
On EEI that we need to coach better, but he's referring to the mix up with the punt and the timeout.
Let's put it this way. I mean, you know, frankly, the play call could have been, and probably it would have been, a moot point had they not bungled the clock prior to that and burned the timeouts, okay? Because they couldn't call for the review there because they were out of timeouts.
Right.
They bungled that. That's where I really lie the blame. You want to put the blame somewhere, put it there. You want to put the blame somewhere, put it on Lawrence Maroney for fumbling at the one-yard line. We all love to bang on Lawrence, myself included. So bang on him there because that was stupid. It's 38 to whatever it was.
Yeah, but they came back
time,
and scored
the
right after that anyway.
And that feels like it's beating up on a weak link. When you blame Maroney.
It does. I mean,
Belichick
can
defend himself.
I think those are all of those things, the Maroney thing and all that other stuff, is all a larger reason why they lost the game. But ultimately, they still should have won despite that. Had they punted, they would have had a much better chance to win.
But not finishing
offensively, as Wes Welker said very very well after the game, is why they lost the game.
That's correct.
They had the field goal that they had to kick in the fourth quarter, the Maroney fumble, the pick in the end zone. They left points on the board. And ultimately, it should have never been a one-score game.
I totally agree. I could not agree more. That's exactly what it should have been.
All right. Well, John's coming up next at Patriots Playbook. You can continue your discussion, emails. We had hundreds of emails. So.
And it's no problem.
They're all in there.
I know everybody wants to give them the two cents worth on that. I realize that it's going to be that way. But, you know, one of the things that we will say, Fred, though, is let's get it all out today because tomorrow Jets are on.
Okay.
You got to move on.
We'll be back tomorrow.